Welcome everybody. We normally have a bell, sorry, so I'm looking for the bells again, ding ding ding. So I couldn't find it, so we're going to keep straight in to the meeting. So welcome everyone this evening. So we have a full gallery, and we do have some guests this evening who are going to be presenting to us. So I'd like to welcome our colleagues from the Adelaide Hills Tourism, and also Stephen Richardson, a colleague from the Mylor Oval Management Committee. We always start off our meetings with an acknowledgement of country, so I would like to do that now. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount Pingala people. They are custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. Now, we have an apology tonight, just one from Councillor Lucy Huxter, who is on the other side of the state this evening. There is an approved leave of absence, but there is nobody absent. So item four on the agenda, we need to go to our minutes of our previous meeting before we can proceed to this one. I'm looking for someone to move and second these minutes. Thank you. So I think I have Councillor Parkin followed by Councillor Grant. So we'll take Councillor Parkin as the mover. Councillor Grant as the second. Are all those in favour, please? Thank you. So that's passed unanimously. Now, does any member have a declaration of conflict of interest with any item on the agenda this evening? If so, can you declare it now? All right, no, that's good. Thank you, everybody. So, look, I just wanted to make a few opening remarks. So the first one is that this is our first meeting after 12 months of searching with our new CEO, Mr. Greg Chilcoppers. So I'm really proud to welcome him publicly to such a full chamber, which is really lovely for us. Mm-hmm. And so welcome very much, Greg.
Yep.
And I hope you're going to be with us for some time.
I hope so too.
Now we've got, just a reminder, we've got some items tonight which are probably going to promote some lively debate. So please remember, dissent is totally acceptable, but be respectful. And calm and respectful during the course of the evening when we do our debating. So thank you everyone for being mindful of that. So if we move to item seven on our agenda, this is about questions adjourned or lying on the table. We have no questions adjourned and we have no questions lying on the table. Item eight on our agenda is petitions and deputations in the public forum. We don't have any petitions to receive this evening. We do have a deputation, and then that's followed by a public forum. So the deputation this evening is by Mr. Stephen Richards from the Mylor Oval Management Committee with regard to events at Mylor. Subsequently, in the public forum, if you wish to make a comment on that or any other items on our agenda tonight, you can do so. That will be the space there to do it. So I'm going to now then invite Mr. Stephen Richards to come forward. If you would like to, please, to this area here where we've got the microphone. So Stephen, if you press that button right in the middle, you'll find a red light come on, and that'll give you access to the microphone. Now, you've got a presentation there. You've got 10 minutes for your deputation, and then you can, if you're happy to, you may enable some questions from the chamber. I need to just to let the audience know that this is a presentation to the chamber. It's not an open debate for the public to join into. So questions, if they are to be asked, will come from your councillors. All right, Richard, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mayor, councillors, for the opportunity presenting. See if I can. Mm-hmm. Which button do I press on this thing? Yep. Thank you. It is about the, what we call the Mylor Annual Community Bonfireworks. which is really just a great family event. It provides an affordable night out.
Somehow you are able to stay there and I'll have to thank you very much.
Clearly, Mr. Richards, as time starts again.
it builds community and it's also a fundraising event for us. The hallmark of the event is the fireworks display, which are the subject of the motion of Councillor Gill, and my out presentation is really framed around a response to that. In relation to the motion, we'll be doing a bit of that room. The fireworks are extremely popular worldwide. In the Sydney, for example, the New Year event attracts over 1 million people attending the event, and the estimated audience is in excess of 600 million worldwide. The Milo event is a little bit more humbler, but we do have average attendances of about 2,000 plus over the history of the events. This year, for the first time, we've had online pre-sales, and already we had about 500 people pre-ticketing, and we expect probably three times that number of volunteers at the game. The council survey, which was undertaken a number of years ago, showed overwhelming support for the event and the fireworks by the Milo community. But in relation to the general community response, the event's been widely publicised, in the courier, banners, posters and leaflets, and we've also been active on social media. There's about 9 groups covering Adelaide Hills, Bridgewater and the surrounding areas of Chunga. And those 9 groups have got a membership of about 79,200. Clearly, there are duplicates, but notwithstanding that, it's a significant number of people. And we've had about 8 posts on each of those groups. Very, very, very few people were against the fireworks. Those that are familiar with social media would know that the keyboard cowboys have been quite actively attacking, if that's what they wanted to. Negativity on social media is renowned. And yet, virtually nothing. There have been a few, but very, very, very few. And that reflects pretty much the mild origin of the survey, that there's strong support for it. Okay. The pyrotechnics or fireworks in Australia operates within a highly regulated framework. Unlike overseas, there is no fireworks season in Australia. There are periodic displays at major celebrations, country shows, but domestic use of fireworks is now a rarity in most states. There is no evidence of a significant problem in Australia arising out of fireworks. There was no catastrophe of Sydney, despite all the elements being there by some of the opponents for fireworks. 20 years of holding the events at Mildura, there is no evidence of concern. There is no body of Australian empirical evidence indicating that fireworks should be banned. Regulatory bodies would ban fireworks if there was evidence of such harm. And in fact, over the years, regulatory authorities have stepped in to control fireworks, to reduce how they're used, conditions in which they're used, and have reduced the incidence of, for example, we don't have a Guy Fawkes not here in Australia anymore. So in effect, Australia's got a pretty balanced approach in its use of fireworks. The Milo fireworks are conducted in a safe and responsible manner, adhering to the letter of the law and going above in terms of the community, make sure they're aware of it and safe. The bonfire is a community building event. It attracts thousands of families, or has attracted thousands of families over the years. It brings together various members of the Milo community, the Red Cross, CFS, netball, cricket, NOMI members, business and community members. There are around 70 volunteers that are engaged in one way or another in conducting the fireworks, for example, baking cakes, cooking and selling curries and soups, supervising the bouncy castle, working the barbecue, setting up, cleaning up, face painting, providing entertainment and so on. But it also raises funds, and at the moment we'll be putting all those funds raised to help towards rebuilding the community sports and recreation club rooms. Are there viable alternatives at the moment? The answer is no. In terms of the laser light shows, we spoke to Nova Tech in Adelaide. They're involved with Illuminate Adelaide. They said that light shows are typically not one-off. They're either installations or repeatable. They combine lights, lasers, and audio. They need a medium onto which light is projected, including lasers. They cannot use lasers pointing into the sky because of the aviation issues. There is a substantial cost involved in setting up and conducting such a display. We spoke to Lumina Visual Productions. The setting up of a laser light show, they said, at the Oval would be quite challenging. You would need a combination of light and loud choreographed music to create any sort of impact. And even with a 20,000 minimum budget, you would not get the wow factor as you would get from the Mylor fireworks. In relation to drones, we spoke to Drones for Hire in Sydney. They are a major event provider. They said they would need a minimum of 100 drones, preferably more, and their cost is about $1,000 per drone. We spoke to drone sky shows in Perth. They operate at a particular lower tier level in terms of providing drones, corporates, local councils, etc. They confirm that you need a minimum of 100 drones plus choreographed music, and the starting price would be $25,000 to $32,000 plus travel and accommodation if we brought them across. They set up this graphic for us to show how it could work in the model if we were to hold one. They said we'd preferably use the hill adjacent to the Oval, so we need landowner consent. There is a significant exclusion zone, and the grey area there represents the window or the envelope in which the drones would actually operate, and they can't work without it, and that would give people the best view for the drone show. There's actually one slide missing. No, because it actually shows the effect of 100 drones versus that's the one. Okay, but it's not coming up for some reason, so we just move on. It basically showed that with 100 drones, you get a three-dimensional effect on the display. You don't get the sort of the three-dimensional type image or presentation on a drone show. But at Mylor, we've got a group of volunteers from the community, working with the community, and we're doing and have done quite a bit of recent times. The constitution has been completely rewritten to enable us better engagement with various groups in the community. There's been a significant increase in membership from around 20 to 150. We're building relationships with other groups. We're working towards reintroduction of winter sports. We've commenced work with Archery SA for a field shoot area for several times a year. We've attracted SA Athletics Leagues to host a major event next summer, which will demonstrate both adult and rural athletics for the local community. We're upgrading the kitchen and developing bar facilities so that we can actually have a vehicle for raising funds. We're planning a bridge across to the hillside to increase recreation options. There's a long way to go on that one. We've attracted a major sponsor or donor to replace the fence, the DA that has already been submitted. We've restarted the annual Mylor Community Bonfire, which is the one here. And we're developing a pathway to fund the rebuilding of the clubhouse over the next 5 or 6 years. That's the existing fence. It was built by the Mylor Oval Committee and community members decades ago. It's gone past its use by date. A community member talking to us about where we're going with the activities in Mylor Oval was keen to get involved and said, well, if you can actually keep going the way you are, I will fund a replacement fence. And that's clearly not our oval, but that's roughly what the fence would look like once it's up. And that's a great vote of confidence in what we're doing.
All right, Stephen, you've got about a minute now.
Thank you. That's the existing clubhouse. The air facility is inside. That's why we need to replace it. This one. The motion under consideration. There is no viable alternative to fireworks. Overwhelming support for the fireworks, not to stop them. No evidence from 20 years conducting the event to support stopping the fireworks. There is no body of relevant professional research that supports stopping the fireworks. Commissioning the research will be expensive. What will it show? Developing this of potential impacts is a flawed approach, as I put in my written submission. If you go and have surgery, there are potential effects. What you've got to do is have a look at what the actual possibilities are of risk mitigation. It does not look at the benefits of the event. The agenda behind your motion is really to stop the fireworks. Stopping the fireworks will seriously jeopardise our long-term fundraising. So our request would be that you vote no.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your presentation. Stephen, now, before I just ask people for questions, Stephen Council, just for the sake of the people who are in the gallery, so you understand why Stephen's making his presentation, is that we have an item, a motion on notice, a little later in the agenda, looking at the use of fireworks in the Adelaide Hills. Now, it's calling for a report, not a ban, and it is... it's on the council land, not the entire district. So I just want people to understand that, because I realise you wouldn't have all read the report. So now, are you happy to take questions?
Sure.
Okay, so I've got Councillor Mudge and then Councillor Singleworth. Thank you. Councillor Mudge, you first.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Stephen, for your good presentation. I think it sort of summarises the issue quite well. I've got two questions and I'll ask them at once. First one is, how long is your presentation? And second one is, so do you use quiet fireworks?
How long is the fireworks displayed? It goes 8 minutes. And yes, we do use what's called low noise effects. And that includes using fireworks that don't go as high as the really big events. And I think that only 60% of them are low noise effects fireworks.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for your presentations. You addressed some of the concerns people have raised around the use of fireworks at the Mylar. I'm just interested in a community perspective on the conservation effect of fireworks in conservation areas in terms of the impact on native wildlife, but also pollutants in the area.
Apart from a very small handful of people, several of which don't even live in the area, we've had no concern raised by the community members, except for one who does support active wildlife issues, but her concern is more about spooking animals, not the actual pollution, which I think we're getting.
All right, thank you, Councillor Palmkin, and then Councillor Hill, and then Councillor Homer.
Yeah, thanks for your presentation. It was great and really informative. My question was, I think what you were trying to tell us, and apologies if I've misunderstood this, is that the fundraising for the Mylar fireworks is actually going towards all of those other works that you are doing as part of the Mylar Hall Committee, is that right? So basically you're showing us where that fundraising is going.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gill.
Thank you. I don't have a microphone. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you for the presentation. The main, you made the comment that there's no evidence of concerns. I've actually had emails from residents of Mylar that are actually concerned about the impacts of fireworks on the local conservation park and the local fauna, not to mention the pollution that fireworks leave behind in waterways and in the soil, and the scaring of predatory birds and bats. Have you actually looked into that matter at all?
In relation to the emails that we've received, I had emails from five people. One of those lives in Melbourne, another one lives in Prospect, one lives on just outside of Mylar. I'm not not too sure. One of them is, I think, out of town. I've only had emails from one person, I'm aware of. I've received no other emails, and I'm more than happy to receive emails, and I just that's concerned me if I get them.
All right, thank you, Councillor Norman.
It's just a question in regard to fundraising. If you are able and you wish to disclose, what sort of funds would you have raised or you expect to raise this year? You don't have to disclose it, but
that's okay. We're just a small community, and we've got to try and make every post a winner.
Yep.
Our first year since the school ran the event in prior years, and we spoke to the school, they said they don't have any desire to restart it, simply because, one, the sheer amount of work involved, and two, the harassment they're subject to in terms of running it. And then this headmaster said there are other things I want to focus on. However, they'll give us their 100% support in running it. In speaking to members that are on the committee that have run the event before, including, for example, my colleague Craig Filkey, we've been hoping to raise between $15,000 and $20,000. Once we've actually got the reforming right, we actually regard this first year as a trial year for us as a new committee, and we'd hope to probably make between $5,000 and $6,000 this first year and build that up. We estimate that we probably need to raise close to $300,000 or $400,000 to put towards any grants that we hope to get in about 4 or 5 years to rebuild the facility.
All right, thank you for that. I'll make this the last question. Thank you,
Councillor Henry. Thank you, ma'am. I'm new to a question, not sure if you can answer, but how many kilograms of fireworks do you use in one display?
I don't know how many rolled in here. Yeah. In speaking to the pyrotechnician, and I can get that for you. He said there are three weights. He said one is the gross weight, which includes all the paper that's involved. You then have a weight, which is the gunpowder itself, that powder, and then you said there's measured in grams, small grams, there is then the colour measures. So you said we can break, I can get that for you. But you think in relation to the gunpowder, which most of it disappears, and the elements that actually create the colour, he said it's actually minute.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Daniel. Thank you, Mr. Richards, very much for your presentation. And the item that you're interested in, we've just got a presentation on a couple of other things first before that comes up. So just to let you know what the agenda looks like. All right, now, at this point in proceedings, we have what we call our public forum. So I just need to ask, are there people in the forum who would like to speak? And if you would you put your hand up and let us know your name and the item that you're interested in speaking on? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Christina, and I'm from Woodside, and
the
floor
didn't
have any item number.
Oh, no, that's all right. What was it you wanted to speak
in? In relation to Councillor Selwood's motion for changing the celebration date.
All right, if you'd like to come forward, you've got 5 minutes.
Forgive me, my first time, and I'm inexperienced. I just wanted to share my support for the motion and share my experience recently with a family member who became a Australian citizen, much to our family's pleasure. That's my husband. He unfortunately couldn't be here this evening, and we hadn't been through the citizenship process before. We were unfamiliar with it. And then we were disappointed to discover that the only date for his official ceremony would be on the 26th of January.
Sorry, I'll just let you know that isn't the only date. We do them 4 times a year at least.
When he did it, then this might have changed since because of the change in legislation. At that time, that was the only date available.
That's not great.
No, like I've been doing it for 5 years.
Oh, I apologise then.
Yeah, that's
it. It was a really unfortunate experience for us because he had to wait 5 months when he got his documentation from. It was an uncomfortable feeling that we then would have that ceremony on that day. So I just came to share our story and a preference for holding those sorts of celebrations, not on the transit.
No, that's all right. Look, thank you so much for doing that. I'm sorry.
For
everyone else who's here, we usually do them at least four times a year. And if somebody can't make one of those days, they can actually come to us and I can confer that citizenship either in my office or sometimes if there are awards, they can be conferred another time.
Well,
that's
great.
Right. We've
probably investigated it further.
Well, that's all right. Thank you for coming and sharing your experience. Thank you very much. Ryan, thank you. Anyone else? Hello there. Would you like to come forward to the microphone? Thank you. Say what your name is. Thanks.
Yeah, my name is Rihanna North.
Thank you, Rihanna.
I've been speaking, but.
No, I know. There's a lot of people. But look, don't worry about it. I understand.
I'd like to talk about two things, and I'll try and fit them into the 5 minutes. The first one is in support of changing the date for Australia Day celebration. I've written a few things. First of all, I'd like to talk about two different topics. They're related only in that they are about doing what is right. Firstly, the council put forward a motion to change the date for Australia Day. Or as my father brought me up to call it, the invasion, but we have never celebrated it. Knowing that to me, it represents oppression, a symbolic representation of the day the British landed 11 convict ships and later claimed it as their own, which was followed by a war that saw many massacres, stolen land, rape, disease, 7 nuclear blasts, stolen generations, herding onto missions, apartheid, racial abuse, and the horrors go on. I'm only a teacher, but when we encourage our students to do an acknowledgement of country before significant events, we ask them to pay their respects to the traditional owners as if they are thanking someone for being their guest. Here is one that our students wrote to use when they are visiting Bushland Park, a nature reserve where they have their bush school days on. The kids wrote this. We would like to pay our respects to the original owners of this land, both past and present, the Perimak people. We are so grateful for the way they have cared and looked after this land that we stand on, the animals that live here and the nature that surrounds us. We are grateful to be able to hike here, to learn about fungi, and to be able to walk with our parents and carers. We promise to continue to care for Bushland Park as we play and learn here today. My wish is that our Children's Council can show the good manners that we encourage our children to demonstrate. My wish is that our acknowledgement of country is not tokenistic and that we do take action to show our respects. And my wish is that we speak the truth about all our history. My wish is that we can choose a date that unites us and not divides us. So that's in my support for changing that date. I do have another point that I would like to bring up that is in from our Birdwood community, and it's in light of the solar farm that has will be in production soon. And this is a letter from that group. So in Now, this is 2 years ago. So in November 2 years ago, a group of concerned Burnwood residents lodged an appeal in the Environment, Resource and Development Court against the approval granted by the Adelaide Hills Council and the Council Assessment Panel, the CAP, for a solar power plant to be built on the outskirts of our township. Through the court mediation process, we have arrived at an outcome that concludes the appeal and has achieved a much better mitigation of the visual impact that the development will have on local residents and visitors to our area. While we are pleased to have achieved the reduction in the visual impact that this development will have on our community, we feel that we have been let down by the council, the CAP and the planning process. It is our view that residents should not have to append our own time, money and effort to achieve something that the council and CAP should have insisted on in the first place before a non-confined development of this nature. Even with the concessions we have achieved through the court mediation process, this industrial development will still be an eyesore in our community for decades to come, and in our view is not appropriate development in the picturesque rural landscape immediately adjacent to our town. While everyone in our group is supportive of renewable energy, we still maintain that this is not the right place for it, and we're disappointed that the council and the CAP have allowed a development that is completely out of character with a rural primary production area it will be taking over. And I bring this up again just in hope that the council will make sure that the fight that we took and the money that we spent to make sure the environmental impact was is less than it was going to occur, that they maintain the integrity and maintain what we fought for. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you willing to take any questions from anyone if they have one? You don't have to. Look, I would say you did first of all, let me just say you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
And despite all the nerves and stuff, I totally get that. So we totally understand your point, you got that over passionately well.
So I have a question.
Just 1 second. And secondly, I'll just say congratulations to your group for being able to actually move forward an issue that was of concern to you. There are a lot of restrictions on council and the CAP with regard to the planning process, and sometimes what comes out is not always necessarily what council wanted as well. So I'll let you know then. So, Councillor Hearn, you go. Yeah,
my question would be to the director, Natalie, could she outline what the council's role, elected members around this table, in regard to planning applications, and in particular, if you can, to the solar farm burden? What is the council's role?
Look, I'll ask the director if they can answer them. I should take that on notice, though, because that's are you willing to do
your question? Can I just confirm, are you talking about the council's role as the council as an elected body, or the council's role as the assessment panel and the relevant authority?
The elected body, people sitting around this table.
Yeah, sure. So through your worship, Councillor Hearn, the elected body, the assessment process is separately legislated. So the elected body does not have influence over the assessment undertaken by the council's planning staff, nor the assessment of an application by the council's assessment panel. So the elected body certainly can, in much the same way as will be discussed tomorrow night, can put in a submission advising of any concerns, etc. But the planning process is separately and independently legislated for that purpose of independence.
Thank
just
you.
One further question. When does the current planning approval, and does the camp and the approval expire?
I'd have to take that on a notice.
All right, thank you for that. Thank you. Good question, good answer. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming forward and speaking on those matters. Thank you. All right, we're now moving on to item 9 on our agenda this evening, and this is a presentation. So I would now like to welcome up to the microphone, please. From the Adelaide Hills Tourism, we have the Chair, Martin Radcliffe, and we have the Executive Officer, Tanya Jarman. So, welcome. Look forward to your presentation. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for having us today, and good to see so many people in the room. We just came over from the Stirling Hotel just before, and it's great to see the visitor economy thriving and a full pub on a Tuesday night. So, yeah, that's good. That's good to see on a winter's night in Stirling. So, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So, Adelaide Hills Tourism just here to give you an update on what we've been up to and what's been happening in the region, and happy to take questions at the end or at any time. So, what we're all about, our purpose as an organisation, is to build a resilient and sustainable industry that capitalises on its proximity to Adelaide by converting more visitors to stay overnight. We feel very strongly about the overnight economy in the Adelaide Hills, encouraging more day trips to linger longer and to spend more in the Adelaide Hills and to grow repeat visitation. To do so, we do have a really considered strategy which flows down from the South Australian Visitor Economy Sector Plan into the South Australian Regional Visitor Strategy, into Adelaide Hills Tourism Zone Strategy, and then the action plan that it executes on a day-to-day basis. So why is tourism so important to us all? It's a key driver for socioeconomic progress. Visitors become people have visited long before they become residents in many instances. Tourism champions small businesses, entrepreneurs, and First Nations enterprises. It enables storytelling and connection across multiple industries, brings prosperity deep and far into our communities, and the ability to lead regeneration and change our relationship with nature and each other. So a little bit about us. Tanya is sitting to my right and your left, for many, is our executive officer. Tanya is the boots on the ground and the one who does all the hard work for LA Hills Tourism. And she's supported by Lachlan Swan, who is a social media contractor, and Sharon Way in administration. And we're a voluntary board. The board is chaired by myself. James Sellers is the CEO of Scouts SA, Trudy Dixon, Ambleside Distillers Treasurer, Mark Vortman from Mount Barker District Council, the lovely David Waters, just sat to my right over here, our funding partner and representative from Adelaide Hills Council, Damien McArdle, representing the Northern Hills from Parapone Premium Perry, also representing agribusiness, which is a very important part of tourism. Damien Cook, CEO of Regional Development Australia, Sarah Carlson, Adelaide Hills Wine Region. Clearly, the relationship with wine and its producers is very important to tourism. Joe Podliak, with Department of Environment and Water, once said to IC at the South Australian Tourism Commission, knows tourism inside out and a very good recent acquisition to our board. And finally, Kylie Roberts from Elinta Bar. Kylie works in the wellness space and was also a really important acquisition to our board. So that's us. What are we aiming to do? I might let Tanya talk through this but in a moment, but we have a goal as a state to achieve $12.8 billion in visitor expenditure by December 2030. We're at $8.1 billion just before COVID in December 2019, but pleasingly we've now gone back up and we're experiencing a rebound to $8.3 billion as measured in December 2022. Just behind the CEO's head on the screen there, so I missed that. In March, we achieved $9.4 billion, so it's still going up. So the good news is tourism is starting to boom again. Regional tourism's had a very good time of it, and the signs moving forward are very positive as the international market starts to return.
Excellent. And I think that over $9 billion level, I think it takes a lot of the events actually in Adelaide in the first quarter of the year as well. So, because that's obviously the whole visitor economy, it's not just regional South Australia. So our regional visitor strategy set a target of $4 billion across the state. The current spend is at $3.98 billion and 48 cents in every tourism dollar is spent in regions. So it's a really important part of our visitor economy, what happens outside the major cities. Major city of Adelaide. Five regions have achieved record expenditure, and it's not surprising given that, you know, for a couple of years people weren't travelling that far beyond their own state borders because they didn't have a choice. So it really did push people into the regions and probably in a way inflated regional visitation. So for us it's about just getting that sustainability and not big peaks and troughs moving forward. We're at a record high as of December 22 of 225 million, which is just short of our 2025 target. And as I said, regional South Australia was the backbone of tourism through COVID. This, we are actually sending out some more information. It'll be in your portal, which will do a bit of a deep dive on all of the data. But you can see as of December last year, we're at 1.2 million day trips. I should actually add that day trips, it's a great number, but it's also one of our biggest challenges because if someone only spends a day here, they don't stay overnight and they don't spend more money. So a lot of us is about driving day trips to overnight stays.
What is the time frame for the slide?
This is December 2022 based on a year. And because the regions deal with relatively small sample sizes, we get these annually. And I'll touch on that. That's a good question around data. A lot of the data is based on the National Visitor Survey, so it's based on sample sizes that can sometimes be restricted for regions.
So we mix that between actual numbers versus survey numbers. I'll touch on that a little bit later. And cruise ships were back as well. So there were 17 cruise ships coming in to the state, and obviously a lot of those will come up the hill. Visitor profile, again, this is as of December 2022, 84,000 intrastate, 67,000 interstate. Average length of stay is 4.1 nights. I should actually say that holiday travel as well consists, or domestic travel consists of both holidays and visiting friends and relatives. So that's what increases those length of stay, because obviously when you stay with a friend, chances are you're not just going to stay one night. Depends how friendly you are with the locals. So international was quite low, obviously, at December, but that's beginning to grow. And that day trip market's worth $108 million. I won't linger too much on this, but you obviously have access to, we get an idea of the age of visitors coming into the hills and the length of visit. It's really interesting. It's an interesting spread, and that gives you all the details on what the different age groups are. I thought this was quite an important slide, and you can actually see how important just the city of Adelaide and regions outside Adelaide Hills to visitation within your region. So, we're looking at more than 50% of visitors are actually locally sourced. And then obviously you can see Melbourne and New South Wales are the other larger source markets as well. So our priorities sit across these three major areas, and business and leisure events cross all of them. When you see marketing, I think a lot of people think of advertising campaigns and TV ads and things like that. We don't have the reach or budget to do that, really, what we would call above the line marketing, but we do invest very heavily in our consumer platforms. Obviously, experience supply development is really important. So if we get great product, that will increase visitation into the region. And obviously, a lot of what I do is around engaging with stakeholders. So that could be from an accommodation operator. It could be a tour operator in Adelaide who's bringing tours up to the hills, helping them with product information. And also just networking with the industry, so we all have a buoyant industry. So there's two platforms that I want to talk about. We have a regional website, visitadelaidehills.com.au, and that is really rich content. So that's where we can really deep dive into the stories of the hills that someone like South Australian Tourism Commission would probably focus on the heroes, but never the depth that we can actually do as a region. So I invest quite heavily in making sure what actually sits on that platform is reflective of what you can, dive deep into experience in the hills. But our social media reach is particularly, is very, very strong, particularly against other regions as well in the state. So we're second to Kangaroo Island for Facebook. Sorry, Greg. So we're working on that now that you're over this way. And then we're actually the number one region for Instagram as well. Now this video should play. How do I get that? These are actually moving videos, so for some reason they're not working. Anyway, it's fine. So that's four different. What we do with social media is we actually use other people's content. So we don't buy ads and put it on social media. We search around. A lot of people will tag us and visit Adelaide Hills. So if you ever do something in your local area, just tag Visit Adelaide Hills, and we are watching what's going on all the time, and then we'll share on to our audiences all the beautiful content. So that was a Cleveland shot. That's another one up at Golding Wines, the main street of Stirling during autumn, and Fox Creek Mountain Bike Park. But to show how important this only happened last week. Cherry Bomb Cafe in Ashton, they posted something about, the crackling fires and the beautiful food in the cafe. We then shared it on, and then we got a note from Cherry Bomb last week saying we got absolutely smashed this weekend because of this post. We said, that's great. And they said, we're exhausted, but thank you so much, though. So they see the instant results. It's a way we can really help the smaller operators that would get lost in the bigger picture. And that was obviously a smart one post-Christmas, saying too much turkey, with the and we measure the engagement very heavily. And so David gets a digital report every quarter, which talks about our digital reach. We obviously have our visitor guide. We went through 70,000 this year. We're about to reprint. And we also do a lot of tear-off maps. We go through thousands of those. They tend to get distributed very heavily across operators, Harndorf Main Street and up at Mount Lofty.
And then experience and supply development, we're moving relatively quickly. There have been quite a few funds that we've been able to leverage and inject a little bit more money into the region. But the Tourism Industry Development Fund, I think the final projects are just finishing now. That was launched around the COVID time. You can see that list of all of the products in the hills that benefited from an extra injection of funding to get their products up to scratch. We obviously did very well with the bushfire grants, and obviously what came out of tragedy managed to deliver some exciting new projects into the region around different local events and also wine events. Heritage grants, we've had a couple of those come into the region, and the Nature-Based Tourism Fund, we're just about to go through a second round of applications for that. And that's actually for any operators that are operating within 20 kilometres of a national park or taking people in, where the Department of Environment and Water are wanting to make sure they activate all of their parks. That's just some of the projects in the, Adelaide Hills Council Zone. You've got Aberdeen Lane in Woodside, pavilions at Lenswood, Randall's Mill, Dunkel Brew, Union Bridge at Cudley Creek. That's private farm Tiny Escapes in Verdun on the left-hand side. So there's some lovely new product that's come into the region as a result of that investment. I put this up here, and I would say that this is desktop research, so please take it, given that we did it based on looking at websites. But last year, when I was sitting in the same location, the question was asked about how many Airbnbs across the region, and it's very hard to get data from Airbnb. And what I've always wanted to know for the region is, if at any one time every single piece of accommodation was booked out, how many people could be sleeping in the hills that were visitors to the region? Because I think that tells a really clear story. And so we ended up, we couldn't get the information from Airbnb, so we basically did it on desktop research and counted every single Airbnb and looked at how many people could sleep there. So this is based on guests, not beds. And then we looked at hotels, and it's quite interesting, between the two council areas that we represent, it's a very fair split. And I've also just done a little pie graph on the right about the split between Airbnbs versus hotels. So there is a lot of accommodation in the region, but not necessarily the traditional accommodation that we would think of as a 10 or 12 bedroom hotel. We'll take some questions on that in a minute. We've done a lot around wellness tourism. I think I was explaining that this time last year. We've had two Wellness Wander weekends, which have been pretty fabulous. This came out of a bushfire grant where we really felt that the hills is such a beautiful location for people to just, enjoy nature, to, to be at one in the environment. People are wanting to reconnect with agricultural experiences as well through our agritourism. So we did quite a bit of work in engaging the industry, doing a strategy, and then actually delivering it through two Wellness Wander weekends. You see we've got lots of publicity this year. Other major focus areas, obviously cruise sector. We had 3,500 people come up the hill. Accessibility, I think, we want to be a region where everyone is welcome. And accessibility is an area that both South Australian Tourism Commission and Tourism Australia, along with us, really would like to invest in. We were lucky enough to get an Austrade grant where we did an audit for, I think it was about 11 operators. And that was a really good start. We've also operated some workshops in the region. I'm very much, if we really truly want to be a sustainable region, we want to start moving away from printing things. So digital platforms to me are a very important investment, as you can see from our website and socials. So I work very closely with our operators on how to make them online bookable. I do a lot of online distribution workshops. This year I'll be, as part of our plan, I'll be doing a back to basics for all of our tourism industry, how tourism works, how bookings come through, where we source our markets from. And we're also going to be a major sponsor of the Australian Tourism Exchange meeting place that will get them up about 300 up to the hills in November. And obviously agritourism, sustainability and wellness is a huge focus for us as well. So we have 781 subscribers in our newsletter. I would welcome you if you want to register for that newsletter. We try and send it out at least once a month. And that's everything from grants. If people want to get in contact with me to support them from distribution or marketing, but also it updates them on announcements across the region and across Australia. We have a business Facebook site, so if something happens quickly, and that became very, very useful during the fires as well, where we can actually communicate with our industry very quickly online. And we do industry events annually. Our recent one was at Howard Vineyard. Our next event will hopefully be around Christmas time, where we always bring in a guest speaker to provide a different perspective. This year we have the new CEO of SATC, Emma. I would say I spend at least 2 to 3 days a week face-to-face with operators. I think, as Martin said, the boots on the ground are really important for me. That's when you really get traction and you can sort of cross-pollinate industry together and really leverage opportunities for each other. I also sit as a board member on the Australian Regional Tourism and part of the National Agritourism and Conference Committee Working Group. I engage with the SATC almost daily and Tourism Australia, and I have fortnightly meetings with my other regional tourism managers across the state as well. And I arrange regular for meals of the region with major stakeholders, so it's pretty busy.
Just letting you know, Tanya, you've got 3 minutes just because tomorrow we're short out about them.
Yep, okay. Yeah. And so we have been doing a little bit of work around our brand as well. Now, a brand is as only as only gives you traction if you can actually sort of share the stories of your region. We did used to have some interpretation messaging, but we really wanted to freshen things up. So we have sent a brand deck around that will also be in your portal. I would have talked it through, but it will take longer than 3 minutes. So we might just hold off for the moment. But if someone has any questions about it, I can touch on it later. Even though these are logos, a brand is not a logo. So there's a story that sits behind the Adelaide Hills brand that we'd be more than happy to share with you a little bit later. And did you want to wrap up, Mum?
Yeah. I reckon I've got about a minute there, so I'm good here. So what's going well? Visitation is overall exceptionally high at record levels. Products and experiences on the app. Operators have taken this time during COVID to think about their experiences, think about their products, and they've invested strongly. So product supply and experience supply is going up. Wellness tourism, as Tanya said, digitally we've really gone well. People buy their tourism experiences independently and digitally these days. That is the way it's gone, and we're really proud of what we've built up there with your strong support from Adelaide Hills Council and other stakeholders. But there are opportunities to be better, all right? Opportunities that have come along with a burgeoning market. Like I said, the international market is now returning. Every sign is that it's going to be a very strong few years from the international market, which has not been here for the last 2 years. Nighttime economy is critical to make people stay longer, to give bar owners, cafe owners, restaurant owners the confidence to put a staff on at night. We need people staying here at night, so capacity is key to that. I'm aware there's a public consultation going on now for one of the proposed developments in the hills, which is the Mount Lockyer Estate Golf Course Hotel accommodation. Let's see how that process works and what happens there, but more capacity is really important for us to get more groups staying overnight. And with that comes two other opportunities, incentive travel, where companies reward their top performing employees with trips of a lifetime. Now they come from overseas, they come from interstate. There's a huge opportunity in Adelaide Hills with its unique boutique experiences to capture that market. Secondly, it's the business events market. I've just commented that Stirling Hotel was pretty busy on a Tuesday night. That is a challenge for a hotel investor or a developer or a business operator, is how do we stay busy during the week? Business events is a real opportunity to do that, that Monday to Thursday business. And that's an opportunity where we in the hills can get stronger.
You've got 15 seconds.
That is all questions.
And a very good time, and thank you, Martin. So questions, please. Thank you. Councillor Selwood.
Thank you for the presentation through you, Mayor. You mentioned the Nature-Based Tourism Fund, and you mentioned that it's open to operators. I'm just wondering if it's also open to community groups. I'm thinking of examples like the Love Woodside Group, who have put a lot of money and effort into the BMX bike track that brings people from all over the hills, or the Friends of Scott Lake Conservation Park, or other Friends of Park groups who might be interested in putting some interpretive signage in about that. Is that open to groups like that?
I think as long as there's an ABN. I think I'll check. I'll actually come take the notice and come back to you. But there needs to be an ABN aligned with the group. And obviously there are some key outputs that are required. Like you need to be able to measure how many people are coming in. And
and how much it's going to cost you to run the business. I think actually it might be open to community groups, but I will check that. It's actually run by SATC, so I'll circulate the those requirements.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, just a question. In regard to the developments, the Sterling one, which is the current one, did you provide a letter of support or some brochures or something to their application?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one that springs to mind, I recall, made the career was the development of the back of Harndorf. There were two there, Cossies. Is that, that's in Harrogate somewhere? Cossies, and the other one that had a helipad attached to it. Do you also write that as a support, encourage, all the people who make the assessment?
As we are approaching, we think it's a good thing, which invariably people wanting to add capacity and add experiences to the region is a great thing for us, and provided they do follow due process for good people like yourselves, but also show a lot of sensitivities to the environment and the community through their proposal. That's why, for example, we wrote a letter of support to Mount Lockyer Seco, of course, and we're there to help, we're there to advise. The last thing we want to do is encourage an investor to build something in the hills that isn't going to be successful. So we're willing to give the hard advice to somebody and say, look, this isn't going to work, or you might need to think about this. And we quite often approach in that regard. And we believe we have a strong skill set to advise on that.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's why the brand story is really important. We'll always say, is this lined up with our, what is the Adelaide?
All right, thank you. I think that's end of our questions. Thank you for the presentation, for your time, for your pictures, for the images. Thank you for that, and thank you for the work that you do on our behalf of stakeholders as well. So I look forward to your next event and hearing more about the your figures as they go up.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Now, I'm just going to ask for leave of the chamber. There was a gentleman in the public forum that I think I missed, so if he was still like to do that with your indulgence, I would like to invite him forward. Are you happy when I see him? Yes, yes. So, sir, gentleman in the green top, I believe at the back, you were interested in wanting to speak.
Nice and white.
Oh, gentleman in the wine, I think. Yes, we spoke earlier. Yes. Sorry, I got them.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Could you just give your name again for our records? Thank you.
My name is Sepafree, Mountain with an iron bank.
Thank you very much.
I just have to use my phone as well because I've got it all written in here. And thank you guys for taking the time to come back to me as well, because I appreciate having my voice heard.
Thank you. You've got 5 minutes, Sepafree.
I'd just like to talk briefly about the item 12, the proposed day of change citizenship and award ceremonies. I think this is an overwhelmingly positive change. I believe that changing the date of these ceremonies is a matter of respect. The traditional owners of this land have never ceded sovereignty over this land that we all live on and we all love. The least we can do is respect their wishes and treat others with dignity. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Zeva. Thank you very much. Are you happy to take any questions if somebody had one?
Yes.
Does anyone have a question? Or I think that was pretty clear. All right. Thank you so much, Zeva. Thank you for making the effort to come from our back. Thank you
very much.
All right. So thank you, councillors. We can now move on to item 10 on our agenda. This is our questions on notice. Now, our first question on notice here was from Councillor Kirsty Parkin regarding the old network courts at Wright Road in Stirling. Now, Ms. Cummings, are you here? Oh, yes, sorry. Came forward quicker than I was expecting that. So was there anything you wanted to add or highlight about your response to the question?
Nothing to add to the report, Crystal.
All right, thank you. So, Councillor Parker, you got a fairly fulsome response there.
Thank you very much for that.
If there was any queries on that, I'll take it as read from everyone, but was there anything specific you wanted to bring to our attention?
I just have one question. When I read it through, I just wasn't clear whether Crapers Tennis Club are still playing there or if they're now playing at Heathfield as well.
Is that one the answer? So CRAFIS tennis club are playing at their CRAFIS site, and I understand that if they have overflow matches, they use heat field from time to time.
Not right or anything.
No.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, respondents, very much. All right. So we now move on to item 11. These are the motions on notice. And the first motion on notice here is item 11.1. This is with regard to the use of fireworks for the Adelaide Hills Council area. And this has been put forward by Councillor Pauline Gill. So, Councillor Gill, would you like to speak to your item, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, through you. I'd like to move the motion as written on the agenda. And just a way of background, our festivals and events policy states that we will seek to bring festivals and events to our district that have social, cultural, environmental and economic benefits. And that's based on the strategic plan goal, Connect 2.6, that any event or festival use firework works is not meeting the environmental aspects of this statement. The research that I've been able to find on impacts of fireworks onto native wildlife has all pointed towards there being heavy metals, sulfur coal, other toxic chemicals and gases such as ozone, sulfur dioxide and nitric oxide. These toxins become airborne after fireworks combustion and create dangerous levels of air and water pollution. Humans who breathe in toxins air pollution created by fireworks can suffer illnesses and deaths, mostly from respiratory or cardiovascular causes. I've got a fair bit of background there talking about a lot of the other chemicals involved. Another effect that I'm concerned about is the effect on people who have come from war zones or have been involved in war. Fireworks do sound very much like gunfire, and it can trigger post-traumatic stress disorder in some people. Some of the chemicals in fireworks can actually set off asthmatics. So it's not just animals that I'm concerned about. It's not just the environmental impacts. It's actually human impacts as well. There's also impacts on our companion animals, such as dogs and horses. So horses have been known to actually bolt and actually run out on the road, causing an actual traffic hazard. So this motion is actually asking for a report to make sure that, A, we're getting a balanced view of the effects of fireworks on the environment, on animals and on people. If there are other considerations that we can take into account, so we actually can have a balanced view and make a decision based on facts, not just emotion. And so I commend the motion to the Chamber.
All right.
All right, thank you, Councillor Gill. Let's see if we can get you a second. We have Councillor Pascoe, who needs a second. Would you like to speak to the item now?
Yes, thank you, and through you, Mayor. I would like to second this motion as printed on the screen. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. When we acknowledge the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount and Kaurna people, we make this commitment. It is also a commitment to our environment and principles of conservation, and it troubles me. Not because I don't agree with it, but because I do wonder if we are doing our best to act by this principle or are just saying it.
Fireworks, just remember to be respectful.
I am. Thank you, ma'am. Fireworks are popular. They have been for hundreds of years, but would technology be evolving to laser shows and drones if they were as harmless as we want them to be? Technology is evolving because exploding chemicals in the air makes an impact on our environment, and for those of us living with post-traumatic stress, it impacts on our mental health. I am one of them, and I have not experienced war. Fireworks are triggering for me, and I know what is happening. I could not begin to imagine what an animal is going through who has no idea what those explosions are. This council has endorsed a community survey that does not include the voices of the majority of Myhill residents, and while it asks if people want fireworks, as previously mentioned in this chamber, it does not ask how they feel about it near a conservation park. While many are happy with the survey results, I do not believe the way this question is asked and how many residents it received as response warrants me to fulfil my obligation to be fully informed when addressing motions and decisions in the Chamber on this matter. I thank Councillor Gill for bringing this motion to the Chamber because I believe we have been addressing this complex issue based on what is popular and not maybe what is best for our environment. This is a contentious issue in our community and I do not wish for it to be contentious in our chamber. But I do wish for us to be respectful that there are some of us here who want to explore this issue with more than just community sentiment, but with some science and expert advice. We will not always get this right and sometimes we won't be popular. But can we please try to do our best to be informed in a well-rounded way? All this motion is asking for is for us to explore this issue with some research and hopefully some workshopping. Asking for more information so we can do better is actually not a huge ask. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Councillor Pasquale. So we're going to a debate. Let me see where I've got Councillor Boyd, I've got Councillor Osterstock. Sorry, let me have to write this down. So I've got Councillor Boyd, then I have Councillor Osterstock. I've also got Councillor Cheetah and Councillor Parkin, Councillor Mudge, and Councillor Selwood.
Emily.
And Councillor Herman.
Is
anyone else? Anyone else? I'm pretty much on that. I'm putting down as possible. All right, thank you very much. So let's start from the top then. Councillor Boyd.
Yes, thank you very much. Firstly, I'd like to thank Brian Gill and also Louise Pascal for their input this evening. And also a special thank you and acknowledgement of Stephen Richards, who presented this evening and brought some really interesting facts to the chamber, so thank you for that. One thing is that we're not actually deciding tonight whether to ban fireworks or not. It's just that we want to be informed and we need a report. So this will be really useful to know our options, and now we need to look at the effects on animals by fireworks. Apparently horses jump fences, marsupials lose them. Then a baby, they get separated from their mothers, wildlife becomes roadkill, and we do need to educate the public as well with the report. So we're about to look at the effects on wildlife, pets, human health and pollution, and look at our options for the future of use of fireworks in Adelaide Hills Council, including the cost of the alternatives, which I thank Stephen for bringing some of that information this evening. However, I can recognise that this is a complex issue, and that we need more education, and the views of the Maori community must also be taken into account. And I recognise the decision that was made on the 24th of the 3rd, 20, but I'd still like to see more information so we can make a very sound decision on this one with everything laid out in front of us. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you, Councillor Boyd. We have a lot of people here wanting to debate, so just remind you, if you please don't repeat what someone else has said, obviously you can indicate your report, but just so that we keep the debate as concise as we can. So next person online is Councillor Osterstock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I have a couple of questions because I'm confused, Madam Mayor. And I need to ask these questions to try and understand the implications of what's being put before us.
So who do you want to ask the questions?
Through you, Madam Mayor, and you can direct them to whoever you choose. Madam Mayor, firstly, does state legislation permit members of our community to utilise fireworks if they so choose?
My understanding is yes, on certain areas where they haven't been banned from. So I will go over to one of our directors and anybody here or anything different. Thank you. Mr. Waters.
I could answer my own question.
Well, you've answered it because no one had a question and you've been debating, so that's up to you. All right, so if Mr. Waters answers, you're still in with a chance.
Thank you.
Mr. Waters.
Yeah, through you, Your Worship, and I'm going up against. I'll be corrected potentially. My understanding is that there is a deregulated through a process managed by Safe Work and Save, with obviously a focus on the safety of the operation, the fire technicians need to be licensed, etc. The council's role in approving or otherwise fireworks, the council doesn't play a role in that process, other than the fact that obviously as a landholder, We have a role to play in approving or otherwise certain activities occurring on council's land. That's the extent of council's involvement in the fireworks approvals.
All right, thank you. Other question?
Thank you. So the pertinent point in that answer is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the council's role to play in the fireworks debate, for want of a better word, only relates to council land, period. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Are you asking that through me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm saying so, but this is Mr. Wallace, do you want to answer that?
No, your worship, I don't, because that's my understanding of the situation as well.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, what do you want to ask
today, then? No, I want to ask a couple more questions. Which council facilities does council regularly grant permits for the use of fireworks within our region? Which council facilities do we...
I believe there's two. I'm going to look at Master Waters and can correct me.
Through your worship, I believe in the report we've indicated that Woodside Recreation Grounds in relation to an annual Christmas event there, and the Mile Road Loop in relation to the traditionally the winter solstice event that we've every year.
Thank you.
Two councils right. Probably aren't that
correct.
Thank you. The report makes reference to, just bear with me, in the analysis section that under finance and resource implications, and I quote, the investigation of this report is expected to take considerable time given the complexity of the issue. The administration estimates that it will require at least a month to research the issue given capacity pressure on officers planning for the spring and summer event season, including the Santos Tour Down Under Christmas events and community support implications.
So what is the question? How much resource it will be used?
Yes, yeah. And at what cost to the community?
Okay, so let me go over to Mr. Waters, because the timeline you've given might be the timeline of duration rather than the amount of effort required. So Mr. Waters, are you able to answer that question?
Sure. Yes, I'm again through you, Your Worship. It's a good question to ask, because I think it's important if this motion does get up that the work that would be undertaken by the administration is clear, and therefore if council is expecting something different, to clarify that in the resolution. Yes, the month referred to there would be not a month of full-time work, but it would take a month for someone to get around to it amongst other duties. The team and I were having this discussion over the last couple of days, and we estimated that this could potentially be a piece of work that could take as long as one would want it to, if you felt that way. But we would see it as probably being about a week of full-time work if someone was to just start on this and keep going until they finished. Essentially, what we would be looking to do around point one there is to look for pre-existing, essentially do a literature review of pre-existing research that has already been undertaken by others. We'd be looking for reputable sources of that research and research that was done in a comparable context, I think, to the Adelaide Hills environment. Some of that, I think, will be readily available, and there may be gaps in other areas too. If in doing that work we found ourselves with a real gap or a hole or a roadblock in that process where we felt that there was more work that needed to be done that we couldn't do within that time that we would look to normally allocate, we want to come back to the council and make that clear and seek further direction. But as it stands, we'll be looking to devote about a week full-time worth of work for an officer to go through and do this exercise. It'll be mainly a desktop exercise to begin with. I expect there may be some phone calls to perhaps some universities, to some other organisations who may have been involved in this, and then to obviously prepare the report to come back to council in the next month or two.
Okay. My final question, Madam Mayor. Through you, Madam Mayor, if I own land adjacent to the Mylor Oval or the Woodside Recreation Ground in a private capacity, and with Safe Work SA's consent, would it be possible for me to enter into a relationship with the Mylor group that does the Christmas fireworks, or the Mylor Recreation Community Oval that does the Mylor Bond fireworks, and allow the firing of fireworks from my private property for the benefit of those community groups? And would the council be able to stop me from doing that, Madam Mayor?
So, again, I'll put that through to probably Mr. Waters, if you're able to answer that.
Through you, Your Worship. My understanding is certainly nothing that council would be involved in. And,
thank you.
I'll let you finish.
Ms. Armstrong and I just had a bit of a nod to each other just to indicate that we're not aware of any development approval requirements for that. So you would need to meet all the other regulatory requirements through Safe Work.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so that's a lot of questions. Do you want to handle them?
Not this stage.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'll have that on Councillor Cheever, you next one like this.
Thank you, Madam, through you. This is a complex issue, and I was trying to, I guess, relate back. My law has been referenced quite significantly in this conversation so far, but this particular motion is actually addressing the entirety of the Adelaide Hills Council. I'm quite, acutely aware of the impacts that fireworks can have on dealing with people, wildlife, environment, from a negative perspective, but also the positive outcomes that can come from it. And it is a really difficult position that we're in, to be honest, to have to make decisions on behalf of the community. And I typically try and do that in a very utilitarian fashion. Probably some of my concerns around this motion in itself, it was alluded to before about some of the capacity of the administration as well as some of the costs involved in a report of this scope. And I, from my own research, specifically on the wildlife aspect, there are significant gaps in the knowledge, looking specifically at native wildlife by township. We are a council that stretches far and wide, and so there are some unique nuances in each of those environments to consider when looking at this motion for the entirety of the Adelaide Hills Council. I'd consider looking at an amendment, but at this stage I think I'm probably not in support of this motion. I think the scope is too wide for the issue at hand of RCB, which is actually an issue of cost benefit to the community. There is some of the mention in there around the impacts of wildlife, domestic pets, human health pollution have been spoken to already, and I'm sure there are others that will speak to it. I think we're actually quite acutely aware of those impacts. Where we're needing to get to is actually a decision on, are those impacts something that can be digested by the community in favour of these events? Now, we as a council and us as residents do many things in the day that have a negative impact on wildlife. We build roads through areas. We take a whole bunch of, we take biomaterial through different national parks. We operate diesel machinery. We chop down trees. We fill our townships with non-native species and flood our waterways with additional nutrients. But we have a level of acceptance of that as a community, and I, as a councillor, are here to represent the broader community. Now, I do support considerations of the environment immensely. It's a very important thing to me. And I do believe mitigations in that space are certainly worth exploring. Within our events policy, we look at durations of these events and building some structures to regulate. Not to either to ban or to proceed like the Wild West, but to really hone in a way in which we can provide for our community but manage the concerns that are in here. So at this stage, I'm not in support of this motion, but I certainly am encouraging of looking into fireworks within the Adelaide Hills Council, but not within this particular scope.
All right, thank you. Next first one on this is Councillor Parkman.
Thank you, through you, Mayor. Make some notes on this one.
There's a couple of items on the agenda that I'm really glad you think this was one. I think it's really important that we all remember that we are here as a result of representational democracy. We've been voted in to represent our communities and their views and what they want. Somebody made a comment in relation to a different item a few meetings ago in relation to how we represent Indigenous communities. And a comment was made that decisions that we made that affected Indigenous communities needed to come from those communities. It wasn't our role to come up with ideas and then impose those ideas on those communities. I would argue that's true of every community that we represent here in the Adelaide Hills Council. We need to represent them with truth and integrity. We've been voted in to represent their views. So in this particular case, I don't believe this motion has been driven by the community of Model. I don't believe this motion has been driven by the community of Woodside. In fact, I spoke to the owners, not the owners, the organisers of the Woodside Fireworks. They have about 4,000 people at Christmas every year. It's run by the Woodside Traders. They have not had one complaint in 3 or 4 years that they have run fireworks. Woodside is surrounded by equestrian studs. They've had no complaints. They've had no complaints from people with dogs. Woodside has all the same native animals that Milo has. They've had no complaints of hurt animals, just as Milo have had no complaints of hurt or scared animals. And that's another reason why I oppose it. Exactly as you were saying, Steve, like your argument was mine, is there is no circumstantial evidence at all that any damage is being done, or certainly nothing significant. So it's not being driven by the community. It's not what the community want. There's no circumstantial evidence that any damage is actually being done. And I think it's really, really important to remember that if we do go through with this report, it will come back that there will probably be some very small
devices. Sorry, just to interrupt you. Can we get a bit of mic from my old house for a while? It's looking like I'm just very loud.
I'm too close, sorry. So for that reason, it will be some really small environmental impact. So it's like, oh God, okay, I'll just shout. So it's what Councillor Cheetah was saying before, everything we do has environmental impact, everything from painting our house to driving a car. And every time we do that, we make a decision in our head about whether the environmental impact we're causing is worth the impact it has, if that makes sense. So my view, and not only my view, the view of the communities of Woodside and Mylaw, based on the circumstantial evidence, is that any environmental impact that we might discern from fireworks is not going to balance well against the impact of closing down two events that service 6,000 people a year in the community, families, low-cost entertainment that fund things like the Woodside Traders Association and the Mylaw Oval Works, provide joy to thousands of people. I just don't think it's at this point reasonable to contemplate when there's no evidence that actually any damage is being done, there's no support in the community. I just don't see why we would even look into it, actually. Fireworks are legal in Australia. They're extremely well regulated. I actually looked into some of the legislation around fireworks in South Australia, particularly. Some of the chemicals listed by Councillor Gill are not in fireworks in Australia. They're really well regulated. Some are banned. There's a list there of what is and isn't allowed to be used in South Australia. Fireworks have plastic, aren't allowed to be used. They must all have paper. So we have really actually quite high standards in Australia. So I feel that we need to honestly and truthfully represent our communities. Thank you. So I won't be supporting this motion. I understand it's just a report, but I think the impetus behind the report is not democratic. And for that reason, I won't be supporting it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Councillor Clark. And going on to the next person, just be careful when you're saying you're speaking on behalf of the community. We haven't actually surveyed the entire communities of Woodside or of Mylaw, so just be careful with that. All right, thank you. My next person I've got is our Councillor Mudge.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have some concerns about this motion, mainly from a perspective of believing it's probably not a good use of council resources to develop a report such as this. And I think that the key thing for me, and I thank Councillor Ossoff for bringing this out with his questions, is that it is not in the power of this council to ban fireworks in the Adelaide Hills Council District.
We're not seeking to do that. Yeah. Just for clarification,
so we could explore this, and we could go through the whole process, spend lots of council resources, one person's full-time work, and it'd only be a desktop survey because we don't have the resources to go out and do anything more. And we could do that, and we could bring it back to the chamber, and we could make a decision we're going to ban fireworks, and the only effect would be that two community groups who run very short displays, mile or 8 minutes display with fireworks, can't do it. And any corporate organisation could apply to Safework SA, get a permit to run fireworks on private land and run fireworks displays. So it's not really within council's power to actually do anything other than stop community groups from running fireworks on council land. And at this stage, there are only two community groups that actually do it. So the effect of it, even if we were, and even if we took on face value the claims about the negative effects of fireworks were true, it would have no impact. And I just wanted to talk about some of those actual displays. As I mentioned before, and this was a question, Mr. Richards, the mile of display will be 8 minutes, and I think the previous one was actually timed for 5 minutes. And the mile of display will use quiet fireworks, which will potentially, if there is any harmful effects, mitigate harmful effects to animals. And I guess the other thing I wanted to make about that as well is if you have concerns about your dogs running away or your pets being spooked or your horses or whatever, lock up your pets for the 8 minutes, basically. Lock them up so they don't run away. It's an insignificant amount of time in the overall scheme of things. I also wanted to talk about the environmental effects, really the environmental effects of fireworks, particularly the sort of low-level scale ones, not the Sydney fireworks. We're talking about 8-minute display. Will have an insignificant effect on the environment. If there's certainly, I would say that the amount of carbon emissions that are consumed in the fireworks display are probably used by the cars of the people going to display in the first place, probably 10 times over, but I have no information on that. And the litter that's caused by it, we have the Local Nuisance and Litter Control Act. People have to clean up after themselves no matter what they do. So the organisers of the fireworks, if there's significant rubbish being produced, then they should there are existing regulations which allow us to actually cause them to clean that up, basically. So on the balance of things, I think that this is probably not a good use of resources, council resources. I think we've got other things. We just did our budget, there's lots of things we have cut from that budget, and I would like us prioritising where we spend our resources to ensure that we can do a use of the ratepayers' dollar.
All right, thank you. I'll now call on Councillor Selwood.
Thank you, Mayor. Can I ask two questions before I end the debate?
Sure.
The first question is about whether the administration believes that under the scope of this motion, the different council areas will be considered, for example, while having a higher conservation distribution of conservation areas that would side, will those options be considered by the administration?
Let me just clarify the question. So will we look at more urbanised and less urbanised areas? Is that roughly what you're
saying? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Waters, your team will be doing this?
Yes, through you, Your Worship. Take a location agnostic approach, for want of a better term. I think it doesn't refer to Mile or Woodside or anywhere else in particular. It's asking for information to come back regarding the impact of fireworks on wildlife, domestic pets, etc. So we would bring that information back. Now, I imagine that information, there may be research which exists, which indicates that the impact is more or less in certain, you know, less in built-up areas versus areas adjacent conservation parks, for instance. So if we uncover that information, that would form part of what we bring back to the chamber.
All right, thank you. Second question.
You. And yes, my second question through you, Mayor, is about consultation and whether the administration believes that under this motion, consultation will be undertaken with groups such as the Model Committee or the Woodside Commerce Association.
So, Mr. Waters, do you have a view on that?
Yes, through you, Your Worship. The motion doesn't call for community engagement. So, again, in the interest of making sure everyone's clear on what the administration would do, I would indicate that we would not. However, I think out of respect to the information provided to the chamber tonight, we'll go back to Mr. Richards and ask for a bit of information about some of the sources that he cited. We would also go back through some of the sources that the builder cited in their information, some of the other sources that have been sent to us and through other parties that have taken an interest in this matter. So, but to be clear, there's nothing in that motion as it's printed that indicates to me that we would be tasked with undertaking broader community consultation.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Now, do you want to raise the debate?
Yes, please. Thank you. I think we've all had a number of conversations here about fireworks and the value of and not thereof. I think what this motion does is gives us an opportunity to learn, and I think that's always a valuable thing. I think what it will do is give us some information to really consider this issue. A lot of us have been bombarded with a lot of emails. I'm not saying that that was the best approach that we've taken to the advocacy in this space. It has been difficult and frustrating at times for many of us, I know. But I think this will give us the information that we need to be able to form some opinions around this issue, given that it is asking for a report and not asking for us to make a decision about fireworks. I'm very keen to understand the difference between the effect of fireworks on conservation areas in particular. I think that that's something that we do need to explore. Councillor Parkin mentioned that this hasn't been driven by community, but I see this as a motion that allows us as councillors to make the best decision. I don't necessarily think it needs to come from community, this motion. I think it gives us the opportunity to really educate ourselves. I think that's always worthwhile. Councillor Mudge also referred Councillor Mudge said that it's not our power to ban fireworks, and I agree it's not our power to ban fireworks, but it is a decision about whether we allow fireworks and permit fireworks. So I think that is a decision we will have to make in the future. And I'll be supporting the motion, given that it will give us that information that we require.
All right, thank you. So I'll just go back. Councillor Ross, does someone want to speak here?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor, I'll enter the debate. I won't be supporting this motion. Common sense tells us that, yes, fireworks do, to some degree, impact wildlife, domestic pets. Questionable about human health, pollution of soil and water. I think common sense tells us that. Equally, common sense tells us that those of us, which is a significant proportion of our council population, operate some combustion heaters and burn wood 6 months of the year. Now, clearly that would impact some people's health. It would have an impact on soil and water and things of that nature, and potentially have impact on wildlife. Do we, as a council or a state government, seek to ban wood-fired heaters? The answer is no. Why is that? That's because the community wants it. They want their wood-fired heaters, especially when you live up in the hills. The issue of fireworks in this council district at this point in time impacts two events, one at Woodside and one at Mylaw. This council has no control whatsoever over the issue of fireworks, except when we receive a request for fireworks to be used on council land. that's when we have the ability as the landholder to have some impact or influence, I should say. So this motion, in effect, is using a sledgehammer, in my mind, to crack a walnut, but which does not need to be cracked because the community support, in this case, fireworks being conducted at Woodside and at Mylaw. They're the facts. Until such time as the state government changes the legislation that outlaws fireworks, period, this is not a space for this council, in my view, to be playing in, especially in light of the fact that it is supported, just like wood-fired heaters, in our homes by the vast majority of the Adelaide Hills community. For us to do anything other than that is plainly wrong when we are not confronted with evidence to the contrary. Are we confronted with significant community agitation wanting this council to take action on the issue of fireworks? And the answer is a resounding no. We are not being heavily lobbied in this sphere. We have learned from the Director of Community Capacity that this motion, if it goes forward, will result in a significant allocation of resources by this administration at the expense of other activities that this council is performing. To what end at the end of the day, councillors? To what end at the end of the day? Two community groups at this point in time seek permission from this council to use fireworks as part of their community celebrations. And if the report, if this does get up and the report does come back and says fireworks potentially have an adverse impact on wildlife, domestic pets, human health, pollution, soil and water, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to say no to those people who operate their events at Woodside and Mylaw? I suspect not. I suspect not. This motion is a waste of time, with all due respect.
All right, thank you. So I will now go.
Councillor Herman.
I've got Councillor Herman and possibly Councillor Daniel. So Councillor Herman. And I've got Councillor Daniel as well. Thank you. Councillor Herman.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just said, first of all, a question of clarification. When I read this motion regarding use of fireworks within the Adelaide Hills Council area, now, I interpreted that differently from you did, Mayor. You said council or recreation area, all land, all the Adelaide Hills Council area means to me the whole area, it includes my household. Yeah.
Yes,
so
I'm clarifying
it
that it's
council
land.
No, that's not what the resolution says. So I make that point, it says all land. So if I've got my hubby farm and I want to let up a few fireworks, I get my approval from Safe Work SA. I can't under this law. Potentially, I can't do that. But the other point, Councillor Selwood asked the question about consultation. I think that's a very important thing. Now, here, this is if this report comes back, and I'll talk about the question, if this report comes back and says potentially there's this, potentially there's that, this won't be hard evidence, but there'll be a potential for it. What are we going to do with that? The motion as it stands does not mention getting information on the social impact, taking away entertainment from two groups of people, like some of the other people, 6,000 people, taking away entertainment. They enjoy that now. Many of us, previous members, attend the. I don't come over the model, but I go to Woodside.
You're welcome, Councillor.
I'll have to. I go to Woodside one, and there's a magic effect. It really is. There's involvement by the residents,
people to come there, and people come out of the cities to watch these smaller Christmas parades, and then to be entertained by fireworks at the end. So there is an economic impact being considered to be withdrawn. The social impact, we've heard about this, low-cost entertainment for people, families in need, making pay the family to a function like that. So I can't support it because I have a fear that the Adelaide Hills Council area includes the whole 796 square kilometres, because it doesn't say it's not. And the note proposal there to look at the other side of the coin, these questions look at impacts on wildlife, and there's no request, no motion there to look at the positive impacts. Why not always look at the negative side of the coin? There are positive impacts for it, but it's not covering that. And the other key issue with me, and I've raised this on a number of occasions, and the Chamber hasn't accepted about the public consultation. Let's go into what the community wants. If that was included in that point, I may have considered supporting it, but as it stands now, I can't lend my support to it.
All right, thank you, Councillor Dunn. Just before we go on, let's just have a little bit of a clarification. Mr. Water, or CEO, if we were to take into account Councillor Holmes' observation about the use of the word area in this motion, that would mean we would put up a motion that we can't actually fulfil. Therefore, can I get some understanding that you would understand area to mean the land that we have control over?
Through you, Worship, I guess I'll refer back to my earlier comment where the work we would undertake would not be specific to any location. In fact, it, in a way, it probably doesn't really matter whether it's at the Adelaide Council area or Adelaide Hills Council managed land. What the motion is calling for is a report back on the impacts of fireworks, in the Adelaide Hills Council area, and hence my earlier comment about the context. So looking for research and articles that were written about the impact of fireworks in our type of area. And then it's obviously a matter for the Chamber to decide what it wants to do with that in regard to, as we've clarified, the only impact the Council can have really is the fireworks displays proposed for Council land.
All right, thank you for the clarification. Excuse me, good point, Ms. White. I just wanted to clarify that. Now, the other one is we heard earlier about the allocation of resources. The allocation of resources that we described, is that hugely different to what we would normally expect for a request like this? I'm trying to give members a little bit of a sense of, is this like the top end of using a whole pile of resources, or is it pretty standard?
Is it similar to requests of this nature? We haven't requested of this particular nature before, but again, I suppose in answering the question earlier, it was about thinking, okay, what would be a reasonable allocation to execute this, this motion if it becomes a resolution of the council, that we could manage within the resources we have with. Now, an extraordinary impact. Yes, anything like this will have an impact on what our staff are already tasked with doing. But we would look to, reprioritise and look at, where that capacity might be within the organisation. As I have described the scope of this earlier, it's not unreasonable or extraordinary. If we get to a point where we feel it will be, then I think the best thing would be to come back to the Chamber to seek further direction on the matter.
Right, thank you for that. So I've got a Councillor Brown and Councillor Danielle if you still want to speak. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Worship. I'll try to be brief and not cover any matters that have been addressed so far. And there's been quite a bit of discussion about the merits for otherwise and fireworks, but I just want to speak about the motion itself, which is asking the CEO to prepare a report, not address the merits or otherwise of having fireworks against it. And I think it's important for all members of the Chamber to think carefully when making these requests to staff. We've heard that this does generate considerable work for staff. that's part of their duties. But in this case, I think there's a slight difference because in the main, when we ask for staff to prepare reports, it concerns council business that we need to understand. In this case, the staff aren't privy to any information that they're not already privy to. We don't have expertise in fireworks or the effects of fireworks. So what we're really asking staff to do is research a topic that every one of us could individually research and probably have done already. And I think we've got to be mindful of when we're asking staff to do our homework for us. And when we're asking something of significance, for example, a planning matter or an engineering matter or item 11.2 of road safety analysis, obviously these are matters of core business for staff on this council. And is their role to inform us of this? I think this is something that's not core business for council. It would be very hard for staff to come up with anything more than an intangible outcome because it's a big field, there's a lot of information, and at the end of the day, a decision on a matter such as this is down to us weighing up the costs and benefits of events such as this or anything else involved. And that's what we're here to do, and the staff can't advise on that. They give us a report with any amount of work, we've never come up with a concise and clear recommendation on this. At the end of the day, we still have to make the decision, and that's what we're here to do. We wouldn't get a clear-cut result. That's our responsibility to decide the merits. There's another cost to doing things such as this, and I've been contacted by people from the Woodside Commerce Association, and that is, it worries members of the community that they might lose their event. And that's also a cost, and it's a reputational cost to us. I think we've got to be careful about looking into these things because sometimes it has a deleterious result, such as that. I don't want to concern our community about this. If at some point we come to debate this issue, let's debate the merits of it then. With the greatest respect to Councillor Gill, and I do respect Councillor Gill, I won't support this motion. And I think we all should think carefully before asking staff to do extra work because we know and we're happy with the work they do. So that's all I've got to say.
All right, thank you. Now, everyone has spoken apart from Councillor Daniel. Do you want to speak?
I do, Mayor. Might be good to close out with a researcher's perspective as well, I think. Following on particularly from what Councillor Grant said around doing your own research, because also at the end of the day, every event we endorse or choose not to endorse has a positive or negative impact on the community. And we have to weigh up those positives and negatives. Generally, any event will have a bit of both. And then based on the total information that we have, we weigh it up and we make that decision. This kind of decision, and I guess, we, if we endorse this, are exploring ending these types of events for our community in terms of fireworks. This decision itself doesn't do that, but it's going down that road. And we have 6,000 people attending these every year. In my law, it provides much needed funds for local community. We're talking up to $20,000, which then flows into a range of other different projects and benefits for that local community, which provides a range of social benefits. It's a highlight for thousands in our district and it's supported by many. Mr. Richards articulated quite clearly, I thought, how laser light shows and drones are far from feasible for this sort of event. If you look at when that takes place, it's generally a really big event. And I'll give you an example of that now. It was a pre-game light show before the Matildas game against France at Dalton Stadium earlier this year. And do you know what happened? 350 drones fell out the sky, landed in the Yarra River. And those batteries from those drones are now polluting that waterway. So the idea that somehow these are you know, grand fixes is not going to be the case. Everything we do in life has an impact and things can go wrong. It doesn't matter about the technology. Light, laser light shows is another issue as well, light pollution. From the, the research perspective, I actually went through and read the full paper, which we had sent to us. We had a bit of a blurb from the Curtin University website, and I went and actually read the full paper. There's minimal to no research conducted here in Australia. There are a number of examples where animals did remove themselves from that environment when the fireworks took place, but then they returned within the next few days. The research also examined, it focused on, for example, Diwali festivals in India. So I thought, okay, how many fireworks do they use? 50,000 tonnes, which is 50 million kilograms. It's a little bit different from our little 8-minute show in Mylor or our short show in Woodside. Yeah, it's actually the equivalent of over 6,000 times Sydney New Year's Eve display that occurred at the start or end of last year, start of this year. And then I'll go to consultation. This motion itself is not undertaking consultation. If we proceed down this path, we ultimately will. From my perspective, we're done. There was a resounding and clear message. And some of you might say, well, only a couple of hundred people reply, but that's actually a big number from a small community. And there is strong community support, and not just locally, but more broadly. And that's demonstrated by how many people actually come and attend these events. We have thousands attend every year. And I think it would be really negative impact on our community when you weigh up the positives and negatives if we were to go down the path of not allowing these sorts of events to proceed. They're a highlight for our community. So I'm not supporting this motion.
Oh, thank you. Councillor Tudor, did you have a question?
No, I was hoping to propose an amendment.
I'm going to go back to Councillor Gill. You heard I was for against, so I don't think you're not really in the chamber yet, but would you like to have another go? This is your final reply.
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. Thank you for the debate. Yes, it is a complex issue. It's not an easy one to look through. It's not an easy one to research. And what this report was actually calling for was to ensure that the information we had was not biased by one person's viewpoint of the world, but it was actually going to give us some information on what we could actually base some decisions on in the future. The reason that I didn't ask for consultation to be undertaken was because we're just asking for a report. We don't know if consultation will be required because we don't know what the outcome of that report will be. In regards to staff impact or capacity of staff resources, I actually spoke at length with the staff about their capacity and how much time they would actually need to invest into this, making this report. And I was reassured that it wouldn't take much. But I didn't put an end date on it because I want to give the staff, particularly since one is actually on leave coming up, some time to actually put that report together and make it comprehensive to make sure we're actually getting all the facts that we can possibly get. As far as things like social impacts not being included or economic impacts, I don't see in our opening statement anything about our economic impacts on our land. Our opening statement quite clearly says that we will protect the land for future use. I don't see that fireworks actually attain that and fulfills that statement. Now, I may be wrong,
yeah,
and I'm quite prepared to be wrong, but let's get the report and get the information so we can actually make an informed decision. I'm not trying to bias an outcome. I'm simply asking for some information so that we can actually make an informed and intelligent decision on the environmental impacts of fireworks within our community areas. And that is all I'm asking for. And if Councillor Ostock, you want to set up fireworks in your backyard, by all means, go for it. But I'm asking how that impacts on the environment around your house and on your neighbours, and on anyone who might have post-traumatic stress disorder, on anyone who might have respiratory problems.
I think we need to actually get the actual information and get it so it's a balanced viewpoint before we go making decisions of any kind. And that's all I'm asking for. And I hope that you consider that when you vote. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Councillor Gill. That ends the debate, so we will now put this to the vote, please. All of those in favour of this item, please raise your hand. Those against, please. All right, I'm sorry, the motion is lost on this occasion. Call the division. All right, I set aside my ruling, and all of those who are for this motion, please, would you stand? We have Councillor Boyd, Councillor Gill, Councillor Pascale, and Councillor Selwood. Thank you. Those against, please stand. We have Councillor Herman, Councillor Cheetah, Councillor Grant, Councillor Parkin, Councillor Marsh, Councillor Daniel, and Councillor Osterstock. Thank you. We get all that? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, everyone. So, yeah, sorry, no, the motion, I beg your pardon, the motion is declared lost. Now, what I'm thinking we'll do now is probably have a break for 5 minutes, give people a breather. I realise there's other items on the agenda that people are waiting for, but it's been quite a long time. I know we've been here nearly 2 hours, and I don't think people would like a break or a toilet break. Is anyone in favour of doing that? Thank you. And that has one vote. Mm-hmm. Councillor Grant and Sheila moving in second. Everybody else, do you in favour of getting a short break?
5 minutes.
All right, I've got 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got it, yes, right. So we do it for 5. We're doing this for 5 minutes, all right? So that's carried, not carried. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. There. So we'd like to resume our meeting. And we are now on agenda item 11.2.
Yeah. Could we seek leave to bring 12.1 forward? Just know.
Yes, we're going to do that. Thank you. So we've got 11.2 and 3 here, but we do have a number of people in the gallery who are actually hanging out a bit for item 12.1. So I'm going to ask for leave of the meeting in order to bring that item forward. How are we feeling? Okay, good support here. This is one of the room. All right, so I think we can do that. Thank you very much. All right, so now let's end. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just confusing myself about a bit of process. So, the item that we're on is with regard to the proposed date change of citizenship and award ceremonies. This is item 12.1. Now, I don't have the full item in front of me. I'll just see that for a minute. Let me try and get it here.
Kids.
Need someone ignoring it.
Well, actually, that would have been the head off, wouldn't it?
Okay, so we have a recommendation in front of us that council resolved that the report they received from notice. So what I'm doing here is I'm going to assume it's been read by anyone. I have 2 people here. I'm going to offer it first to Councillor Selwood, and I'm going to ask what it is that you propose if it's not the recommendation. What do you see from it, you know?
Yes, I would like to move what printed there, but I would like to make one small amendment to it, please, Ms. Williams.
Yeah, you're not making an amendment, which I haven't got anything.
I know, what's written
to what is written there, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to make one amendment to that, and that is item number 2. I'd like to take out the word day after January because it's a typo. Yes.
So I would like to move that motion be.
All right, so has everyone read that item? All right. You happy with that item? All right. So, would you like to speak to the, your resolution?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge that I come as an ally and not a First Nations person. I believe we have a responsibility to listen, to understand, to learn, and then take action. Just to think of the history of 26th of January, in 1931, Victoria created a public holiday on Monday closest to 26th of January, not on January 26th, as Australia Day. By 1935, other states had a similar long weekend that was around the date of 26th of January. In 1938, Yorta Yorta man William Cooper called for a day of mourning on January 26th. At the time, Mr. Burdu, who was chairperson of the Australian Aborigines League, said, "While white men are throwing their hats in the air with joy, Aborigines will be in mourning for all that they have lost." They proclaimed in their statement that day that they hereby make protest and silently marched with over 100 people in Sydney. That was 85 years ago. 85 years later, there are still marches in our streets on the 26th of January. Some people refer to it as Invasion Day, some people Survival Day. But regardless, they are asking us to listen and to change the date. It's not our remit as a council to consider whether 26th of January should be Australia Day or not, but it is our decision about whether we celebrate on that date. Currently, we hold our award and citizenship ceremonies on that date, and that is a joyful and celebratory occasion. I acknowledge that the idea of changing this is challenging, and I respect that change can be difficult, but I see this as a real opportunity. I think we can demonstrate leadership. We can show First Nations people that we see them, we hear them, we understand that there is ongoing dispossession, trauma and disadvantage to their communities. We will send a clear message that Adelaide Hills Council stands alongside First Nations people, and we will step up to take action to redress the past where we can. Some may know of a woman called Louisa O'Donoghue. She is a First Nations woman from South Australia. She was a stolen generation and the first Aboriginal woman to receive a membership of the Order of Australia in 1977. She was the Australian of the Year in 1984, and she has so many titles to her name that it would take way too long to list them. When she was talking about Australia Day, she said, "Let us find a day on which we can all feel included, in which we can all participate equally and can celebrate with pride our common Australian identity." I feel that this is an opportunity for us to do the same. We can find dates for our citizenship and award ceremonies to be on a day that doesn't represent hurt, trauma and pain for so many people. It's a day when we can all come together and celebrate equally. I encourage councillors to really consider what this day means to First Nations people and how we can work towards reconciliation and show that we really do stand for supporting First Nations people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Selwood. So I'm looking for a seconder. Are you willing to second? Councillor Daniel, would you like to speak now?
I will, but not at this time.
Okay, very much. Thank you. Anybody else like to debate the item? Thank you, Councillor Pasquale.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. When we first had this debate, I struggled with what citizenship ceremonies on this day means for our multicultural community. I know what it's like to watch someone close to you become an Australian citizen, and since then I've spent much time reflecting on that. For me, it was the 80s, and we as an Italian family in the northeastern suburbs had very little understanding or even knowledge of Aboriginal people in Australia, let alone our own community. Now, some 40 years later, at the kitchen table of that same northeastern home, this Italian family has grown, and sitting with us is a beautiful, young, proud Ngarrindjeri woman who I will refer to as M. If my dad was to have his citizenship ceremony again on Australia Day, it would be a very difficult moment for us as a family. But having this young Aboriginal woman with us should not be what makes us stop and reflect. If back then 9-year-old Louise and her Italian father learned from her community what a day of mourning Australia Day was, our family conversations around closing the gap acknowledging country, the voice, and everything in between would have been so much more nuanced and educated and not dictated to us by the media. It wasn't actually until high school did I even know what the White Australia Odyssey was. Instead of seeing moving citizenship ceremonies from Australia Day as something we are taking away from our multicultural community, we can actually look at it as an opportunity to help them understand what reconciliation looks like. Our history has beautiful moments, but it has dark ones too. We also have an opportunity to really understand what reconciling some of that dark past looks like. A reconciliation action plan is not a list of actions that sit in isolation. They are active steps in a commitment to leading an organisation and for us, the community, into a place where we acknowledge sorrow, pain and intergenerational trauma felt deeply by all Aboriginal communities. Councillor Selwood has challenged us with this motion and I thank her. To fit in a faith that we really know little about, I know what racism looks like and feels like, but I also know how it feels when the racists turn their attention to the next wave of migrants. I have no idea what it feels like for it never to go away. More so, I have no idea what it's like to watch your culture be forcibly stripped away and to watch all you are be lost generation by generation. But what I do know is that this motion tonight is a moment where we can come together and be leaders in our community. And we are not pioneers, nor are we alone. Other councils are having this debate and they are moving this motion. This is not about white guilt, this is not about following a trend, nor is it about ignoring our community. This is about standing in solidarity and acknowledging how we can make our community more inclusive and respectful for those who have been here well before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Pascale. Now, we are fine to speak. Thank you, Councillor Parker.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Selwood, for this motion. I would like to put motion. I have been in support of moving the citizenship ceremony, the council citizenship ceremony away from 26th of January, but I had concerns about the community events which have been run by communities for a number of years and that they may not be able to find alternatives that were suitable. But with the addition of point three, I think that addresses that. So I'm now in full support. And I can move motion. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Councillor Parker. Councillor Herman.
Yes, I'd like to move the amendment. Which is in two, delete the word awards in the first line. And in three, delete the word award and. So if I've got that right, that excludes the civic awards of the council. I've listened to the speakers tonight, not once have the speakers in favour of this motion mentioned the civic award. That's honed in on the citizenship. But my amendment is to retain the civic awards function on Australia Day so that people can attend community groups and make a family day of that. Nothing to do with the history of Australia whatsoever, more to do with the history of this council. So that is my reason for moving it. So it's separating civic awards to retain them from Australia Day. And I think that's what that says. I can be correct if it doesn't read that way. Someone might have better eyes than I have. That's what it's meant to do. And leave the debate about the citizenship ceremonies as a separate item.
All right. We have actually only had three speakers plus yourself.
Yes. Did not mention the word civic award.
Okay. So you've proposed on the amendment. Let's see. Do you have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Ross.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Would you like to talk to that?
Yes, I will. I'll support the amendment. Clearly, and I support the sentiment of Councillor Selwood in moving the original motion. And I agree with many of her comments. The issue that is central to Councillor Selwood's original motion that she moved, which is now subject to amendment, with the issue of citizenship ceremonies and how that impacts on some members of the Indigenous community. this amendment does not impact that sentiment or that view that some in the Indigenous community take in respect to Australian citizenship ceremonies and celebrations that occur on that day. I think this is in the absence of community consultation with our residents, that we as a representational democracy represent. I think this is a meaningful amendment to the motion and does not detract from the intent of the original motion as moved by Councillor Selwood. So I second.
No, thank you, Councillor Ross as well. I'm just considering that question here. Councillor Boyd, we don't have side conversations here. Do you have a question? Sorry.
That's just a big issue, and then
okay. We'll just hold for a second on that. Let me ask a question of Councillor Herman, and that is that you're saying that awards and citizenship ceremonies are entirely different things.
Yes.
So my question to you then is, can you describe to us why you see them as being completely disassociated?
Well, the first one is to grant citizenship of Australia as a Commonwealth Act, the fact that you implement. Civic awards are awards for people who have worked in their local communities, which the council or who the council recognises as being a contributing society. They don't have to be citizens of Australia, they can be anyone. But there is a complete difference between the two categories.
Just got a question. Yeah, question and clarification. So just with the wording, it says to not conduct citizenship ceremonies, confer or support events. If we were to, for example, yourself, Mayor, go along to these events presenting civic awards on the 26th, would that not be a sign of supporting the event? In which case you would, that's my read on it.
Sorry, say that again.
So the current wording says to not conduct citizenship ceremonies, confer or support events.
Mm-hmm.
If we were still to have our civic awards presented on Australia Day by yourself or others, is that not showing support for the events, which this amendment says it would not do?
I believe that would be correct, but also there is other support, and that's financial support. Okay. Did you want to speak to the amendment? So let's let you speak. Councillor Sell, would like to speak to the amendment.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Osterstock has and Councillor Herman have said that the intent of the motion was about the citizenship ceremonies, which is actually not correct. My intention was about celebrating anything on the 26th of January. It's a day of sorrow and loss and mourning. And for us to celebrate an award or a citizenship ceremony is, in my view, equally celebratory and should be a joyful occasion that is inclusive. And to have a joyful award ceremony or citizenship ceremony, I believe, needs to be inclusive, not on the 26th of January. In my initial remarks, I did not actually mention citizenships or award ceremonies. I talked about celebrations. So I won't be supporting the amendment.
All right, thank you, Councillor. So, well, Councillor Daniel, you
want to
speak
to the Councillor Munro? Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Just, I guess, with regards to the civic awards, the previous experience where I was to present an award on Australia Day civic award to one of our residents who actually chose not to receive it on the 26th because they did not feel comfortable. And subsequently, I presented it at a different event later in the year, which was a really nice occasion. So I think this change doesn't negate the fact that holding an event on the 26th does have negative impacts. I'll speak more broadly to the motion itself later.
All right, thank you, Councillor Mom. She wanted to talk to the member.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, look, I oppose the amendment, and the main reason I oppose it is a matter of principle. I hope I don't offend anyone by saying this. I don't think you can be half pregnant. The reason why we want to stop events on the 26th of January, it's not even called Australia Day, that particular date, is that it is deeply offensive to the First Nations community. I don't need any level of additional consultation to know that there's been lots of consultation that's occurred, lots of polls done of First Nations people. It's deeply offensive to them, and that's why we want to do it on another day. So I close in. And...
All right, thank you. Councillor, you had a question or you want to speak to the amendment?
Can I still speak on the actual item? If I speak to the amendment now?
Yeah.
Through you, Mayor. This might be the same person as Councillor Daniel's referring to, but it's a lovely girl from Gumrack Main Street project.
Different.
So here we go once again. She was receiving a civic award from council. And very sadly, she had to decline because of her beliefs around this day. She deserved that award. She deserved that moment in the spotlight. She deserved to celebrate with her community, and she couldn't because she was self-ended on the day of choice. So that shows on this
amendment. That's not correct. You can have an award.
I know, but she.
Another place.
But I don't know, but all the other people getting their awards on that day. So. She could get another way of thing, but it's disappointing she couldn't engage that.
No, I understand that, but it's just an option.
That was a civic award, so that's what I'm saying. What we need to look at that, postponing or delaying both.
All right, thank you, Councillor Boyd. Does anybody else want to speak? Councillor Chief, you want to speak to the amendment?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. There's a consultation process, I guess, in formulating this report. Went out to some other stakeholders as well, who are around the events that they host on those days. And some of the feedback was around these concerns of holding it on alternative days, with the two, I guess, call them separate components, being combined. I'd also be concerned that the separation of these as two separate things to be on two separate dates for separate reasons may apply additional pressure to these community groups trying to organise events. There were concerns around, you know, what day of the week it was going to fall on, so it's quite, you know, I'm not sure that this separation is going to add any benefit to the community and all the stakeholders that they're going to be challenged. I think also, you know, I won't touch too much on what already been spoken, but I guess lament that piece around celebration and the opportunity for people to be at what you would call a larger scale event. You've made many comments tonight around people do have options, but the existing event that has been held on the 26th of January with the Civic Awards combined with the citizenship ceremonies is quite an event. Despite some of my personal discomfort with them, I did attend the Stirling one this year. And it is an experience that people should have the opportunity to have, to be celebrated for their successes, be celebrated for their commitment to this country, and to have it to do around it, I absolutely think has some value. And so, yes, you may be able to meet in an office and receive your citizenship or receive your awards somewhere else. But should the original motion find its success, we can still create that to do for both of those positive, what should be positive and celebratory experiences on another day. So I do not support the amendment.
All right, thank you. Anybody else wanting to speak to the amendment? All right, let this one on. So we got to go with that. Yeah, I will not work on the amendment.
You can ask a question.
Well, the question is, do you have a right reply? And the answer is no. Sorry, I thought the answer was no, but I wanted to check the answer. So, sorry about that. So, I'll now go to the vote on the amendment. Remember, this is what we're voting on, is the amendment. All those in favour of the amendment. I've got 1, 2, 3, those against the amendment. Okay, clearly the amendment is lost. So we now go back to the original motion. All right, can we just put that up a little bit so people aren't looking at the one content? Okay, so this is what we are now returning to.
Mayor, just a question on procedure. I move the amendment. Does that mean I've spoken on this?
Yes, you go, sir. Certain things need to keep silent. I'm thanking for that. Thank you, because we are in the all right, so let's see. Those who haven't spoken yet.
Yeah, I haven't spoken, Madam Mayor. I've got a few questions,
though. Right, yeah, those who haven't spoken so far. That's what's spoken. Okay, so now, Councillor Gill, your hand is up. You haven't spoken so far. Is Councillor Tier on the list?
No.
Okay, so we'll go Councillor Gill and then Councillor Cheever, Councillor Grant. I think, did you not just speak to the amendment?
No,
no, I didn't. Okay, so we can then go Councillor Grant and then we can go Councillor
Boyd. That's enough.
No, you spoke to the amendment, sorry.
I'll ask some questions just before Councillor Daniel speaks.
So, Councillor Lodge spoke to the amendment.
Yes, sorry, Councillor Lodge spoke to the amendment. Have you got a question?
No, I can speak to the motion.
No, you can't.
No, you spoke to the amendment.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work like that. I asked you if I spoke to the amendment.
So it's only a person who moves or seconds an amendment.
So we can spread.
Yeah. So anyone else?
Okay. So all right. So let's go back and just be. Let's just want to be absolutely clear on this. So let's get a list of who can speak. Basically, the rest of the motion.
So that would help. Got that's a Gill. That's a Tutor.
So while we're doing this, I'm going to offer this Councillor Gill, would you like to speak? Because I think the jury is sure that you haven't spoken.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I find this a difficult topic because I am a white person. I don't have any experience in the lived experiences of First Nations peoples, but I have spoken to a lot of First Nations peoples and I have heard their concerns. I think, from my point of view, I'd like to see us more focused on things like closing the gap initiatives, improving the health outcomes of First Nation peoples, of their mortality rates, of their imprisonment rates against white people, creating economic prosperity, improving their education, and actually doing some truth telling. To acknowledge our history, warts and all. I also know that there is a fear amongst First Nations people that these decisions can actually increase racism. And that's one thing I really am worried about. I do not want to have to make a decision that could actually adversely affect the people we are actually trying to help. And so as a privileged white person in this country, I don't feel I'm in a position where I can actually make that decision on the point of realise that it may actually do more damage than good. And so I'd rather see this council focus on those closing the gap initiatives. And on another point, all receivers of any award or any citizenship within our council can receive that reward when and where they choose. And citizenship ceremonies are provided throughout the year so people can actually choose another day other than the 26th of January. So that's what I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Gill. Okay, I now have, I think, five people left who haven't spoken. So, Councillor Cheever.
Thank you, Mayor, through you. I would not speak too long to this one. We've had workshops on this, and there's plenty of debate when the report came out, the motion for the original report came through. And it has been something I've had to read over in my head and explore and understand. It is very difficult to engage our community and be representative in this space because our First Nation community is woefully underrepresented. So this does break out into a uncharted territory. You know, this is something that we need to find new ways of thinking and doing because we can't rely on our Western democratic system to represent those who we are aspiring to be allies for. This particular motion, I think, is a step in the right direction as a culture and a community to recognise that we can control some things. There are plenty of initiatives and work from state and federal government in the First Nations space, but we're talking local government, and we can control what is within our control, and this particular item is within our control. So our focus is on our community, and in the absence of the community feedback or the community's ability to be equally represented, we do need to look to ourselves and our understanding and our lived experience. And we've heard of lived experiences tonight from other councillors around awards, citizenships, and relationships with our First Nations people. And that feedback and response aligns with the motion that's printed on screen. So I will be supporting the motion.
All right, thank you, Councillor Mopsh. So, Councillor Mopsh.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I'd also like to acknowledge that I'm speaking as Councillor Thurlow said, as an ally and not a First Nations person. I think that's fairly important to acknowledge. One thing I'd like to make clear about the day of Australia Day. Australia Day at the moment was only made a national holiday in 1994, so there's not a huge tradition of Australia Day being the 26th of January going back. In fact, there are a number of other days of the year on which we celebrated a national holiday, and it's only a fairly recent event. And I don't know about you, I'm pretty sure that most of the people, even the people who feel that they're attached to the 26th of January, are not really particularly attached to commemorating the day when some people came ashore, raised the British flag, and did its toast to the King of England, basically. So, and that's what 26th of January is about. There is some debate about whether it's actually 26th of January, but that's what it's supposedly meant to be done. So we're not, I don't think any of us really are that attached to that particular day. However, it is a day which begins, marks the beginning of dispossession of our First Nation people. And as I mentioned in the amendment debate, it is a day which has consistently been shown as overwhelmingly deeply offensive to our First Nations community. I just wanted to address the thing about closing the gap as well. Look, I think we all would like to close the gap improve mortality, health of Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people in our community. But I don't think this is an either-or thing. I don't think we can only do one and not the other. We can do both. So I think that sort of is not really the issue. And also I want to talk about the potential for increasing racism in the community. Racism is the responsibility of the person doing the racist act. It's not our responsibility. We shouldn't shy away from acts of justice and respect for First Nations community just because some racist people might commit racist acts because of it.
And in fact, there was an interesting thing in South Africa when there was opposition through to.
Sorry, you got 30 seconds.
Okay, I won't give that example. So look, I guess I commend the motion. I think it's something that it's worth us doing. We should do it on principle. I don't think there's any further consultation required. So I commend the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Gawler, would you like to speak?
Yes, thank you. I'll keep it brief. Thank you, dear man. The 26th of January is a day of mourning, not celebration. And I think, you know, I have, first of all, thought there might be an issue changing our civic awards and citizenship to a day that is not a public holiday. But with 3 days either side, then that's 7 days are all up. There's going to be a day on the weekend that would be able to work either side, depending on where the date falls. So that makes me feel more comfortable with the motion. I think it's a very emotional decision. I think people are definitely feeling it in the chamber. And ideally, I'd like to ask government to shift the whole Australia Day from the 26th of January altogether, and everyone knows I love it on May 8th. So I will be supporting the motion, and Invasion Day is not a day to be celebrated.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Boyd. Councillor Brown.
Well, thank you, Your Worship. Your Worship, yeah, this is the tricky one, and something I'm weighing heavily. I certainly want to thank the staff for preparing the report and putting the work into this, and acknowledge the contribution of the community groups to the consultations, especially the Reconciliation Working Group opinions, which of course have given considerable weight, and their views I respect. But there are quite political issues, and they're the ones that I'm weighing at the moment. And I'm always conscious of the fact that there's just another group of white people making decisions on behalf of Indigenous people. I'll come back to a bit in a moment, but one point that was raised was about sharing accurate historical information regarding the date and truth-telling. I think we could do a lot more of that, so I hope that's noted. Because that's an important part of this, and that is where this council has a role, I think, that is well worth considering. The issue of the date of Australia Day is we can't change it. I wish we could, and ultimately we will. But this chamber can't change that date. It's a federal matter, of course. All we can do is split that day from our civic celebrations and awards and citizenship ceremonies, and that's contentious, I guess. It's almost being half pregnant, isn't it, Councillor Mudge? We've split it both ways, and that's a problem. And it's also a problem because this issue is playing out in a much bigger stage, and that is the upcoming referendum of the Indigenous voice. And it's important that we're mindful of the effect of the debate we have and the decision we made on the outcome of that referendum, because it will confuse the issue. It's not a referendum on Australia, it's a referendum on Indigenous voice. But people see this as a signal. And I'm also mindful of the fact that we're having a referendum on an Indigenous voice. The point of that referendum is to give Indigenous people a voice. And I dare say this issue will arise and they will nominate a day that's suitable. And ideally, that's how this matter will be resolved, is Indigenous people having a voice, choosing a day, and the federal government recognising it, and then we'll narrowly go along with it. I'm just wondering if this isn't a good time for us to weigh in and confuse and possibly jeopardise a referendum debate, which has already been infused and jeopardised, which is unfortunate. If the referendum succeeds, no doubt this matter will be dealt with, and the Indigenous voice will influence that. That's their call, and I expect Australia Day will be changed altogether, and it probably won't even be called that. So my question to the Chamber is this too premature? I wait the other debate to come.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Grant. Now, I still have our seconder, Councillor Daniel. You haven't spoken yet, so before I go back to the member for a right of reply, I will ask you if you want to speak. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, your question. Then. Yeah,
thank you. Madam Mayor, should this motion get up, what happens to potential new citizens who reside in our council area who want to have their citizenship conferred on them, preferably in the Adelaide Hills, on Australia Day? What happens to those people who want to avail themselves of that opportunity?
They pick another day.
They pick another day. But what if they want it done on Australia Day, Madam Mayor?
Well, actually, there is a resolution saying because you don't have to receive the reward in this council. You don't have to receive the citizenship. You have to receive your reward. You don't have to receive the citizenship. I think you've correctly said that. So you could, if you wanted it on Australia Day, then you can go to, because we have some people, for example, here. So there is an option. If you wish to do that, you could go to another council.
But they couldn't have it done here?
Not on that day. This gets up now.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now let me go to Councillor Daniel.
Thank you, ma'am. So while we aren't debating changing the date of Australia Day, in some ways we are, we must recognise that the 26th of January will never be a unifying date that brings all Australians together to celebrate our history, our culture and the wonderful country in which we live. This is a fact. And this is why we're ultimately having a possible change put forward before us this evening. As elected members, I want to remind all of you to unanimously endorse the following words. Council reaffirms its commitment to being an inclusive council that respects First Nations culture and values and acknowledges that 26th of January is a day of mourning for many First Nations people. In my view, it's contradictory to endorse these words and then vote to continue holding celebrations, all celebrations, on the 26th of January. Our Reconciliation Working Group has expressed that the date impacts significantly on Aboriginal people's ability to participate in award and citizenship ceremonies and would welcome an extended date. Given your support for the previous statements, it shows me that you're all very well aware that many First Nations people are deeply affected. And we've also heard from this evening, Ms. North articulating very carefully, it's not a day to celebrate for Aboriginal people, but a day of oppression. We also had the Lions Club of Torrens Valley who holds some of these events for us in the community, recognise that it's a changing community expectation in relation to the date. It's an opportunity to show leadership in this matter. So let us show leadership that many within our community want to see. We are not the decision makers regarding the official date for Australia Day, but as council, we can listen by ensuring our citizenship and award ceremonies. I had that written there earlier, Councillor Hamill, I didn't just pop it in for you. They're held in a way on a day that promotes inclusion. I do agree with Councillor Gill's comments about the need for First Nations people to receive more support across a whole range of issues. A lot of this, though, is outside our control. What we can do is influence is what is within our control, and I allude to that point with Councillor Grant as well. There are many things outside of our control and things at the federal level, but we can look at what we can control. And if we were to change the data, it would provide an opportunity in which we celebrate to support truth-telling, something which would be part of the celebrations. Councillor Osterstock, I'd just like to make you aware that there are more people that receive their citizenship at Adelaide Hills Council not on Australia Day than on Australia Day. And some of those who receive citizenship do come from outside our community and down in the city, probably because they think Adelaide Hills Council is such an amazing place to be. For our own community, changing the date on which celebrate ensures that we are an inclusive council, in my view, not divisive, that we are respectful of First Nation peoples and passionate ourselves as a chamber, as an organisation about reconciliation, that we're here to walk on a journey of reconciliation with First Nations people, guided by them and not trying to lead them. We have heard very clearly what their preference is with regards to this matter at a whole range of different levels. So in some ways, while this might feel like a difficult decision, in my view, it is ultimately an easy one. I want to do right what is right, irrespective of whether I was the cause of past wrongs. And I encourage all of you to demonstrate leadership and support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Thank you, Councillor Danielle. So I can now go back to the mover. Councillor Selwood, would you like to write a reply?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mayor. I firstly would like to say a very big thank you to the staff. I know that this motion in itself was challenging, and then the consultation was extremely challenging. So I really want to say a very big thank you to the staff for going through that process and really understanding what the fears were. So thank you. I'd like to reflect on some comments made through this debate. Councillor Pascali talked about multicultural families, and I think it's really important that we do consider the journey of multicultural families. But I'd like to note that the Adelaide Hills Reconciliation Working Group in the report said that they recognise the importance of the day for people receiving their citizenship. However, they also want people to understand what this date represents for Aboriginal peoples. And I think it is an opportunity for truth-telling to be able to say to new citizens, this is what our history is, and to be really brutally honest about that. In terms of Councillor Gill's comments about closing the gap, truth-telling and incarceration rate, I completely agree. There is so much work to be done, but we don't have control in council over a lot of those issues, and I think what we can do, we should do, absolutely. The marches that I mentioned in my opening remarks have been going on for 85 years, and I think that this is our opportunity to listen and learn. Other councils have already made this move. Port Adelaide Enfield held their citizenship and award ceremonies on the 23rd of January this year, and Arley City Council voted in May to move their ceremonies away from the 26th of January. Councillor Grant mentioned that, you know, this is just another bunch of white people making a decision. It is. We are a bunch of white people. We can't shy away from that. Somebody did ask me once, a resident said to me, if you could give up your seat for a First Nations person, would you? And I said, yeah, I absolutely would. I think we need more representation on council chambers, like in council chambers like this, in our state governments, in our federal governments, at all levels of decision making. I think the referendum will be a move towards that, but I think, you know, we're still away from that actually being enacted. I think someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 2026, so that will be in effect, that voice to Parliament, and our access to it as council is unknown at this time. So we can't rely on the voice to Parliament being our way to understand what First Nations people need. At this point in time, we do need to make decisions as a bunch of white people for our community and for First Nations people. We've acknowledged that 26th of January is a day of mourning and hurt for a lot of First Nations people. I do feel like if we can't listen to 85 years of marches and then asking for a day of mourning, then, you know, we're doing something wrong. So I really hope we can all support this motion tonight.
All right, thank you very much, Councillor Selwood. Now, before we go to the division, just make a couple of comments. This has been a deeply challenging debate. And I thank you all for your participation. Everyone has contributed to this tonight, which I think is a really democratic thing for this council to do. It doesn't have to be more divisive than it is. So I just want you to think carefully that after the vote, whether or not you could be gracious if you're considering a division. So I think it would be a gracious thing to not do that. It's your call, but I'm just putting that out there. So I'm now going to ask you all, those of you in favour of this motion, please put your hand up. Those against, please. All right, thank you very much. That motion is carried. Thank you. Now, we can move on. I'll just say also to our gallery, thank you so much for coming tonight to support and listening to the debate that has gone on. We always appreciate it when people do come to support our councillors. Thank you very much. There's quite a few items left on the agenda, so please don't feel obliged to stay any longer or later if they're not of interest to you. We won't feel offended if you want to go home. So thank you very much, and good night for those who are here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, sir. All right, councillors, we can now go back to item 11.2 on our agenda, which was the road safety analysis at Logan Building. Now, this was originally, I think, put forward by Councillor Huxter, but I believe she's happy for Councillor Holmes, who's making carriage of this on her behalf. So I'm going to ask you again, are you moving this, Councillor Holmes?
Yes. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I might do well with noise, so.
Right, hang on.
One more go on.
Have another go, I'm not mine on. Any
better? Councillor Huxter asked me to move this motion on her behalf in her absence. I am familiar with the Rosen question, and started with this community-driven motion, community-driven through the local community association. And I did have a call from David Baker today, just a little bit concerned because he, Councillor Huxley, wasn't going to hear that it wouldn't be dealt with. So I did explain she asked me to run with it. So a community-driven event, or we're calling for an investigation of the safety aspects of Ridge Road and Middle Road. Logothel, Ridge Road intersects with probably the worst part, intersects with Woodside Road at the bottom of a reasonably steep incline in a little bit of a corner. Woodside Road is a head road. The other one, Mill Road, principally the Cubby Creek or Pioneer Avenue, whichever it is, where it comes in. Again, Mid Road's involved in that. Mill Road has the primary school. Recently, in the last couple of years, Council upgraded the school crossing there, putting a school crossing to improve the safety of the children and parents. Apparently, that has worked to some degree, but still there are some safety issues. It does call for a report, if I understand. The date has been agreed with the staff for 24th of October. Before I close, there's another issue I'll move under motions without notice, subject to the Mayor's approval, about stormwater issues with Mill Road and the Covered Creek Road.
Yeah, look,
I'm saying that, and we'll take that on later as much
as I just saying there'll be another one. It will form, according to the director, it can form part of this process. Council staff do have quite logical people that could make that assessment. Again, the issue will be, and I can say it, as you know, when the council was dealing with debt, that seemed to take a long time. So I wouldn't expect anything to happen quickly on this. The report will come back, but the resolution of the issues might take a bit longer. I commend the motion on behalf of Councillor Huxley.
All right, so.
Thank you, Councillor. Am I waiting for a seconder? I can see Councillor Gill's hand up there. You wish to second?
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor.
Let me just check first. Councillor Tudor, did you have a question?
No, I was going to second.
Okay, thank you. So, it's a bit difficult for me with the video. Thank you, Councillor Gill.
Yes, I'd like to second this motion. I actually worked quite closely with the then Minister for Education, John Gardner, in getting the school crossing put into Mill Road because of the safety issues of people speeding through there. And this just goes a little bit further about looking at the entire precinct of that area to make sure it's safe for everybody. I'm just a little bit miffed that there's not footpaths included in it, but that's okay. That will be for another day.
All right, thank you. So, Councillor Cheetham, did you want to speak to the item now? Councillor Grant, do you want to speak to the item?
Yeah, just very briefly. Thank you, Your Worship, and thank you to Councillor Herman and Councillor Huxter for coming up with this. Just for the benefit of the elected members who aren't aware of Logothel, there's only three north-south roads through Logothel. You've got the main road, and then we've got Mill Road and Ridge Road. So, and Mill Road and Ridge Road both come off, major roads. So it's obvious that traffic are going to find their way around the main street, and it's a fairly problem that's going to have to be addressed because the traffic's increasing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councillor Grant.
Yes, thank you. I would also like to thank Councillor Hupster and Councillor Hennan for the motion. And also the local community association, because they've been strong advocates in this debate. I just want to make some comments that obviously the administration will take on board in preparing this report. One is that the lack of footpaths, as mentioned earlier, are one of the reasons for the increased traffic activity around the school in particular. There's a lot of people who live on Mill Road that actually can't walk to school on Mill Road, and so they drive. And having had both my children go through those sort of primary school, I know that I didn't feel comfortable with them walking to school around those roads, and so I do think that's really important. Prioritising walking to school has many impacts beyond just reducing traffic, it also improves health and wellbeing. So I think that's something we should be looking at. There are some concerns from residents along Mill Road that if we try and address the traffic on Main Street, it's only going to increase the traffic on that other road. So I hope that also gets looked into. But yeah, I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Selwood. Anybody else wishing to speak in the debate? All right, I'm going to
Thank you for your support. The first question is number three. Is it the Department of Education or the Department of Education and Children's Services? If you get it right, can that be done after the event? Check those.
We can double check that. If we can't do it now, we can do it next year.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So let's vote on this. All those in favour of this motion? Thank you. Sorry, I've been panicking about a decision there, so thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. All right, thank you, everyone. Let's go straight on to 11.3 now. This is a proposal to rename a portion of one of our suburbs, Clough Cross River, to Morialta. So, Councillor Pascardi, this is your motion. Would you like to speak, please?
Yes, thank you. And through you, Mayor, I'd like to move the motion as printed on the screen. Tucked in next door to Morialta Conservation Park, next to its flowing creek, which in winter actually looks like a river to me, is a third of the suburb of Ross Trevor that is part of the Adelaide Hills Council. So Morialta Tala is a Kaurna word, which means Murray means east and Yatala means flowing water, and this is how we derive the word Morialta. It's part of the area that looks and feels nothing like the rest of the suburb, that is the bigger part of Ross Trevor, and has a community that's more like a township nestled in the hills. In fact, when you're there, it feels so much like a township that it's just missing a main street, a community hall, and a post office, as far as I'm concerned. Everyone knows each other, and their commitment to their area has seen members purchase land and return it to the environment. And having lived in the Campbelltown part of Ross Trevor, I can assure you that is unique for this area. The Morialta Residents Association have a long history and a commitment to their area, and I don't think of them as a suburb, but a well-connected, dedicated community that cares deeply for its environment, and one that is connected to the park they live adjacent to, and one that acknowledges their unique role in our council. As this is their third attempt to change their name to Morialta, I have asked that this motion be an investigation as to how the council can lead this successfully on their behalf. As a council, we already see this area as unique and not part of the larger area of Ross Trevor. We have maintained its paved gutters, small roads and natural environment. And I would like to see us succeed this time with helping the Morialta Residents Association by driving a request with the Surveyor General. And with this motion, ask the CEO to look at how viable it is to succeed and not just what the process is. And I ask the Chamber to commend this motion. And I just would also like to point out that I did receive an email from the Morialta Residents Association that said from their survey there was actually one resident who didn't want to change the name, but from the majority, vast majority, they want that support. So thank you.
All right, thank you. So let's see if you've got a second. Councillor March, I'll see your hand up there.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's great pleasure to second this motion, and thank you, Councillor Scully, for bringing it to the Chamber. I've had a number of conversations with residents in that area And the Residents Association, and I was aware that they were doing some consultation about it, and I reckon I know who that one person is who was against it, and I don't think it was totally against it necessarily. They were talking to me about wanting to change the name to Ross Trevor Park instead of Ross Trevor. The key thing I think this could potentially do, if it's successful, is it could, in future, particularly if we are successful in fending off the boundary change, it could potentially create that sort of distinction between that part of what is now Ross Trevor and the rest of Ross Trevor, and help to fend off boundary change proposals in the future. So I think it's a really good thing to do. I think it's fantastic that it's pretty much overwhelming. As Councillor Pascali said, everyone knows everyone in that area, it's got a really great feel. It's quite different to the rest of Canberra now. So I commend my team.
All right, thank you very much. Now, I saw some hands over here. Councillor Parkin, and then Councillor Herman, and Councillor Grant.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd also like to support this motion and comment on what a wonderful piece of community-driven work it is. There's very clear evidence that this is what the community wants and has wanted for many, many years, and thank you for bringing it in front of us. I agree with what Councillor Mudge said, and would really support all the work we can do to support the Warriata Residents Association. They have driven a lot of really good work in that area for a number of years. They have been a vocal member, or not member, vocal organisation in that community, and have worked alongside council really well for a number of years. So I commend the motion. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it to us.
Thank you, Councillor Harman.
I'll support the motion, and note in the report that's been prepared that they knocked back twice. That doesn't cover us after the third time. I'd like to reiterate some of the members of the chamber might remember Kenton Valley. It was Kenton Valley, and through the slip of a pen, Kenton Valley disappeared and became North Gunnaraka. And through a process, we managed a council lead process, we got that back to Kenton Valley. Another one was Millbrook, which is it was a locality, and people were getting mail addressed to Millbrook, and it just vanished, because Millbrook is really the reservoir. That's what Millbrook is, the area. So there is capacity, and first one lucky.
All right, Councillor Grant.
Thank you, Councillor Grant.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Just briefly, sorry, I've lost my notes, but I do support this motion, but I do think it may be an exercise in futility if we've been refused twice and the circumstances haven't changed significantly. We may be refused again. I'd oppose a motion like this if it was a significant body of work for staff to understand that it's not, the materials there, and if anything new can be found, we'll see it for that. Burning staff with a wild goose chase, so I'll support that.
All right, thank you. Anybody else who can speak on this item? Thank you, Councillor Gill.
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. I'll support the motion, and I think it's always worth giving it another go. When I was on the plate for the council, we actually had a section of Smithfield that wanted to change its name to Smith's Creek. It took them about five times before they actually got that over. So sometimes it's just a matter of how many times you ask. And I think just keep asking until the answer is yes.
Excellent observation. And I have to say, North Gunnaraka Sheriffs doesn't have the same ring about it. Kenton Avenue Sheriffs. And I did actually notice that Councillor Pascal there's a reference there to the work done by Mark Salva. And Mark said back in 2009. And actually today my office, I had a short meeting with Mark Salva, who's here from South Africa, for a very short while. And I didn't see that until our peak gone. He would have been delighted if I could have mentioned to him that he was in tonight's meeting. All right, so let's go back to, nobody else wants to speak, we'll go back to Councillor Pascal. Would you like a lot of reply?
Yes, thank you. A thank you to the councillors who have spoken in support of this motion.
And I'd like to thank Councillor Herman, who did reach out to me during the week and reminded me about other attempts that have been made, and to I look to you for your wisdom to help us with this process. Just to the concern that Councillor Grant raised around it being taking a lot of research, resources, I did address this with the administration before I brought this motion into the chamber, just to see how that we could do an investigation very upfront. How viable is this? And that's why I said in the motion, how viable and feasible is it? And the Morialta Residents Association are very aware that we're taking this path where we're just going to sound it out, see if we can do this, and then we put our best foot forward. So thank you.
All right, thank you. So all those in favour of this motion?
Okay, that's carried unanimously. Thank you very much, everyone.
Now we can move on to our administration reports. And just for one moment now, I thought we hadn't done 12.1, but luckily we have done that. We will bounce along to 12.2, which is the revocation of community lands. Ms. Cummins, I'll ask you, is there anything you wanted to add or highlight as this is your report, Ryder?
Nothing to add, thank you, Your Worship.
All right, thank you. So we're looking for, so this has been through community consultation, I believe, and state government agencies. Okay. So I just wanted to move something. So you're so moved, and I've got a hand up already. Thank you, Councillor Ostock, Councillor March up there. So I've got moved, Councillor Herman, I've got seconded, Councillor March. Would you like to talk this item at all, Councillor Herman?
Yeah, very briefly. Is a two parcel of road not accessible. People can't get onto them. It will just now remake that name of the existing landowners. It's a very sensible outcome.
All right, thank you, Councillor Marsh. Do you need to speak?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just briefly, I wanted to. We've dealt with this a number of different times in previous councils, and sort of made it in merits of it today. So I think it's just another step in the process.
All right, thank you. Is there any dissent to this? I'm not sensing any. I don't think you need a right of reply, do you, Councillor Hammond?
No, thank you.
All right, let's go to the vote, please. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried unanimously. Item 12.3, Ms. Grant, this was your report. Was there anything you wanted to add to this or highlight to people before they debate it?
No.
All right, thank you. So we're looking for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Daniel. Councillor Grant, are you willing to second? Thank you. So move, Councillor Daniel, seconded Councillor Grant. Councillor Daniel, are you wishing to speak?
No.
Councillor Grant, are you wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak on this item? All right, so we will take it as read. Therefore, we'll go straight to the vote, please. All those in favour? All right, thank you. Carried unanimously. All right, Councillor, so we're now on to item 13. There are no more administration reports. Item 14, are there any questions without notice from Councillor? All right, no, we do have some foreshadowing of motions without notice. So,
I do have a question.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, our microphone system.
The question is, could we improve it?
We get our money back.
We need any money, because it's unacceptable. It needs to be fixed. We have endless issues with the system every meeting. It's probably how old is this now? It's 8 years old now.
I think we should get our money back.
It's definitely 6 years. I've been here 6 years.
Okay.
I think it's a very good question, and I think it's very fortuitous that our new CEO is sitting here and he has actually experienced what we've been experiencing. So, thank you for that. That question, without notice, will go straight onto the CEO's to do list. Thank you. Councillor Pascali, you have a question?
Yes, I do. I just want to back up Councillor Osterstock's question and ask if we could investigate the microphone is with the streaming service as well, because I don't know how many of you have actually tried to utilise that at home, but it is very difficult. I kind of guess every second word and get the gist, which may not be the best way to participate in the workshop.
Yeah, well, I think we'll take it as being the whole system. Thank you for clarifying. All right, now, any other questions without notice? Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
All right, now, are there any motions without notice? I believe I have one from Councillor Homan.
Yes. Yes, the motion that I foreshadowed when we were discussing the Mill Road and the Ridge Road traffic issues. I did discuss with the director an additional matter that could be investigated, that in addition to the issues of the motion on notice, that the investigation be extended to include stormwater management at the intersection of Mill. And I have to change Cudley Creek, because actually it's Pioneer Avenue, because it's the same road. It changes to Cudley Creek a little bit further out. Thank you, now, just a section of road that's on the downhill slide, council stormwater runs down the hill, or it does, and then it's expected to take a sharp turn into a drain, quite often that water will flood over the road and leave gravel. So the investigation had a look at that. Again, it's in conjunction with DIP, so I don't expect a quick result, but this was started in June, so I commend the motion. And it will have minimal impact on the children.
All right, so this has been moved by Councillor Herman. He's looking for a second. Thank you. Councillor Selwood, are you willing to second?
Yes, I am willing to second. I will just speak very briefly. There's the stormwater issues around Mill Road wide and varied, as Mr. Vice knows. We've worked on a number of them together already. But I think this is a really positive thing for us to investigate, particularly that place where there is quite a steep road. So I can imagine.
Thank you. So anybody else wishing to speak on this item? Alright, well, that didn't even reply. You probably don't need to text somebody, we haven't taken the vote yet. So that's all those behind. Right, thank you very much. Okay, unanimous, okay. So we can now go on to item 16, reports. So, okay, now, can anybody want to highlight what they have done there? Just for the clarification of the CEO, I tend to only put a report in monthly, so you won't see on this one. My report was the last one, and that'll be the next one. So, if anyone wants to ask anything specific, they're welcome to. Does anybody need to highlight anything here? If not, I'm going to hand over to the CEO. So, it is my pleasure to hand over to the new CEO and say, Mr. George Hopwood, how's it been?
Yeah, thank you, and through the mayor. It's been an honour and a privilege, actually. Thank you for asking. I've been here now a week and a bit. What I'm doing at the moment is gathering information, understanding the organisation, meeting and greeting people, looking at what makes the council function and what their goals are. What I'm planning to do is, once I've gone through that journey, you might have noticed that I will be presenting a 90-day plan next Monday, I believe it is. So I'll talk about details of that plan on Monday. And then, of course, at some point within that 90-day plan, some recommendations back to the level members and suggestions. All in all, what I've seen so far is you've got some good folk. A lot of people have got really good intentions. And it's really about now making sure, and particularly as we talked about last week, about making sure that we align staff to the new strategic direction of the council, and we'll really revisit the strategic plan, the objectives of the strategic plan, and what actions will come out of it. And that will help absolutely align the organisation for not just the next 4 years, but maybe beyond those 4 years. So that's all I have at this moment to report to Good fun.
All right, so I take it from that, given that the probation period is three-way, I hear from that you actually do quite like us.
I do, yes. Yes.
Still there after a week, so thank you so much for that. I mean, it's very good. Okay, so let's go to item 17. This is our reports of our committees. The Council Assessment Panel met on the 12th of July. Thank you. I've got a mover on the Councillor Mudge. A seconder for the minutes, please. Is there somebody? Thank you, Councillor Parkin. All those in favour? Didn't ask if you were in debate, but I hope you don't. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Audit Committee did not meet. The CORP did meet. Again, looking, thank you, Councillor Grun. Now you're moving there. Did you want to actually talk to that at all?
Yeah, just briefly, it's very simple. There's a couple of matters addressed there, which were recommendations which came to the Chamber at our previous meeting, which is straightforward. And just for the record, in case Mr. Miller is listening, thank you for the minutes. I did check it, and in Nevada, it's about 3:30 in the morning, so hopefully Mr. Miller's not watching, but he's either in bed or watching an Elvis impersonation act.
Knowing Lachlan, he'd be in the casino.
All right, thank you. So, Councillor Parker, are you willing to second? Is that where your hands up? Thank you. Did you want to speak any further?
No, I was there, but I
didn't do that. All right, thank you very much. So moved and seconded. Anybody want to debate the item? Well, thank you. All those in favour? Thank you. Again, Karen, unanimously. Boundary Change Committee didn't meet. All right, now, Councillor...
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Just before you mention that, can you please clarify what meetings we're having in the next week?
Okay, so on Monday, I'll get this from the top of my head if people could just check for you. Monday the 31st is now being used for a workshop evening, which is as the CEO just described. He will present his version of his 90-day plan, which we had he wants to bring to the Chamber. Then what do we have on? Is there something on Tuesday?
I thought we weren't going to do two things normally. That was planned, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's the ambition. I'm not, that doesn't always come out as caps on that night.
Sorry. No, we have CAP, special CAP meeting.
Special CAP meeting on Wednesday, tomorrow.
On the 31st, we have the Sterling Golf Club developer representative coming along.
Is that a presentation?
Yes.
Oh, all right, thank you. So that and the 90-day plan, is there something else on that?
Yes. Yeah,
All right, there may be another item subsequent to our confidential item.
There's nothing on the first, Tuesday the first. There's nothing. No. But it's just Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's welcome to attend the OCR meeting tomorrow at 9.
You can attend anyone in the
public meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so we need to go into confidence for the next item. Yeah, thank you. We'll do that now. Good observation. Now, it's 10 to 10, councillors. We will need to extend a bit. Can I get a vote, please? I have Councillor Osterdock and Councillor Marsh moving and seconding. All those in favour? Thank you. If you feel you can't stay, I understand that. But the vote is carried, so thank you. We have an extension. Wouldn't that be 30 minutes if we need to use it? All right, so before we shut the doors, do you want to make a move? Oh, yeah. All right, thank you, Councillor Pascali.
Sorry, I just
say
I have emailed
feedback
that
Councillor
Parker
has
not
been
able.
All right, thank you very much. All right, before we shut the door, I need someone to vote because we're going to conference. We can't ask for 30 minutes. Councillor Cheeda, all those in favour, please. Thank you very much.
Long